Right, y'all. Hey, welcome to the show. All right. Man, I'm telling you, that opening song always get me going. I don't know about y'all, but I'd be dancing over here and singing, and I'd be doing the dang on thing. That's right. And you know what? That's a great thing, though. That is a great thing. Yes, it is. But anyway, welcome to the show, y'all. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And you know what? We got a great show planned for you today. And the title of the show is How Are We Conditioned? And that should be very, very interesting. Because, you know, from childhood all the way back, from childhood, you know, we are conditioned to think and act a certain way. Yes, we are. But you know what? The thing about that is, in a lot of cases, it's wrong. Well, it ain't in a lot. The whole case is wrong. You know, and me and my co-host, we were talking earlier about sovereignty, you know, and she made a very good point. And you know what? I'm not going to elaborate on what she said because I want her to say it herself. So you know what? We're going to go ahead and bring my beautiful, intelligent, vivacious Sister Ngoni. Hello, Sister Ngoni.
Greetings, Eric. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm great, and I love that song, too. This is the first day that I really listened to the words.
Really?
I was so into the beat, I didn't pay attention to the words. It's fabulous.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
I love
why
I
chose. Yeah. You know, I'd be in here popping my fingers and singing and carrying on. It's just one of those songs that get you feeling good. You know, if you really listen to the words, I mean, it makes you feel good. And you're like, yeah, you know, because I'm happy. You know what I mean?
It's positive.
Yes, you know, don't waste your time trying to make me sad and make things bad for me because it's not going to work, you know, because I'm happy. I refuse to let you rain on my parade. That's for sure. All right.
Yes.
But anyway. All right, y'all. I'm going to quit talking. Either way. So, Sister Ngoni, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed your day off yesterday. It was a much deserved day off.
But you know, I worked on Ebony's show, basically.
Well, now I'm going to have to apologize to Ebony for holding her audience a little longer than normal.
Oh, no, okay. I loved it. No apologies needed. I was thankful to, you know, to be there.
No, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great thing. All righty then. So, as I was saying before, you know, we were talking prior to, prior to us going on air about sovereignty. And I would like for you to go ahead and give your explanation of what you mean when you say sovereignty, because I believe that is a very good way of looking at it, and it's the true definition of what sovereignty should be. So, you know, go ahead and hook us up.
Okay. Well, first I'd like to tell you my experience was standing on the edge of the Gulf of Guinea in Ghana, West Africa, looking at a slave dungeon. And the thought came in my mind, I declare myself sovereign spiritually, mentally, and physically. And I take that very seriously. The word sovereign means to be self-ruled. It means to not have exterior rulers over oneself.
Mm-hmm.
You either believe in freedom or liberty, or you believe in having master-slave relationships. It's that simple. It's not complicated.
Not complicated.
Either you believe that it's time for slavery to end on this planet, or you don't. And if you cooperate with slavery, then you don't have any excuse to complain.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. See what I'm saying, y'all? See how insightful and deep that was? But yet she made it seem so easy to understand. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I love my co-host, because she be doing it. She be doing
it. Thank you. Thank you, Eric. And I love you, too. And I love your new music director.
Oh, I must pass that message on. I love her too. She be doing the thing.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. You know, I ain't forgot. Today is Jazz Day. Yes, it is. It's Jazz Day. And we got a good one for you today, man. I'm telling you. I don't know. See, you know what I'm learning on Jazz Wednesday? You know, we're finding so many different jazz artists. We're going to see who the real jazz specialists are. You know, because some of these people I haven't heard until I listen to the song. I'm like, oh, okay. So here it is, y'all. We're going to get down with it. Going to get down with it. Without further ado, here it is, the Jazz Wednesday Jazz Mix. There, do it. Y'all know what? That right there deserves some applause. I'm telling you. Boy, I'm telling you. My music director, the big guy. I got to give it up to my music director on that one, man. Wow. That was nice. And that was Monday Afternoon by Felipe Sason. I guess I'm pronouncing that right. Oh, but man, that was nice. What you think, co-host?
Oh, I loved it. She did a great job. Yes, I've heard you say that off that musician's name before, and I had never heard of him. So I'm gonna have to look him up and see what I can buy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, see, I was supposed to play his music last week. You know, but I picked the wrong song. So, and remember,
oh.
I got chewed out on both ends. So, you know, I made sure I put it on today.
I like it.
Yes.
Very nice.
Very nice. Very nice. You know, even in the chat room, somebody said, that's nice. Mellow music. Good for listening and doing something else. So, I guess so. But I'm telling you, you see what somebody's mind that day. But excuse me. I almost lost my breath there for a hot minute. All right, y'all. But anyway, that was your song, your jazz mix for Wednesday, July 22nd, 2014. All right. So, you know, now we got the music out of the way. It's time for the quote of the day. Yeah, I know, y'all. I forgot the quote yesterday. And that shows how important my co-host is, because I'm so used to her coming up with these great ones. I just, you know, I just needed her here yesterday for her to read the quote of the day. But she's back today, and it's about that time, y'all, for the quote of the day. Go.
We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. That's by Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Oh, my goodness. We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. Good Lord.
Yes. I thought that was befitting for today's topic.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's right on point. That is right on point. I mean, but you know what? And here's the thing about that quote right there. You can read that, and many 800,000 people can say it and read it, but how many of them actually going to live it or follow it, you know, or take it for what it is and get together? How many people you think really going to do that?
Well, I'll go ahead.
No, I often say, and you know, it's one of those things where that's part of the problem that we do have now, because we can't live together as brothers, you know. And we're not just talking about the black community, we're talking about the human race, period, you know. And that's just interesting. And the way it's going, we are going to perish together as fools for the most part. No, some of us, you know, we have freedom of our mind, which is the most important thing. But what about the ones that don't? You know, how can we get this over to them? Okay, I'm through now. Go ahead, Sister Ingarden.
Oh, you asked a question, and I kind of was distracted. I was trying to find a link to put in the chat room. But
can
you just give me a little teaser to get me back into what your question was?
Basically, what I was saying, you know, if we could live together, it would be great. But the way it's going, we basically won't perish together as fools. So how can we get it to the point to where we can live together as brothers? And we're just not talking about the African-American community. We're talking about everybody as whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think that we are living together. I mean, we have a lot of work to do. We haven't killed each other off the planet yet. We haven't killed each other out of America yet, so there's hope. I put that word in quotes because some other folks already messed it up a little bit, you know. I'm optimistic, and I hate to use that word also, but I refuse to see the future as, you know, unavailable. And we have what we need to make a future, you know, peaceful and you know, in harmony. And each one of us personally has a responsibility to create that, not for someone else. See, that's why I don't feel hopeless, because I know it's not my responsibility to think for other people or to tell other people how they should live or how they should be or to judge them, although I sometimes do. But I know that's not the right thing to do, you see. So when we, as Gandhi said, sweep in front of our own door, then the whole world will be clean. So I feel like when we concentrate on doing our best, and, you know, your best is not always the same. If you're focused on your purpose and mission in life, then your best will probably be, you know, at a high level. If you're distracted or you're, you know, you fall into the matrix and you forget what your purpose and mission is, your best probably won't be your best. But it's, you know, that's what life is all about. So for me, Eric, I don't see it as that we're not going to make it. I think we are going to make it. And some people think, you know, that's naive and Pollyannish and so forth and so on. But I truly feel deeply in my heart and soul that humanity can rise to the occasion. We've been here before. It's not the first time we found ourselves on the edge of a cliff.
Okay. All right. Wow. Okay. I like that. I really do. I like that. And, you know, you just made some very, very valid points. you know, I guess if you going to believe it, you got to believe there's hope then. You just really do. But, you know, it is.
Well, you know, it's not just about what I believe, because you can believe anything you want to. It's what I choose to do my best to live. I don't always, you know, reach the point that I would like to reach, but I that's my direction, my guidance, and purpose in life.
Okay.
To seek truth, understand the truth, and to live as a free human being, which means I have to respect others' freedom and liberty to be who they are, where they are. And, you know, that's how I see it.
Okay.
But it hurts sometimes, too. It really does.
It hurts sometimes?
Oh,
how does it hurt? How does it hurt?
Well, you know, because, you know, you want to strangle some folks sometimes, but, you know, that's not, you know, you're not allowed to do that. You see what I mean?
Oh, okay. All right. I see what you mean.
You know, like I said, your best is not always your best. Depends on what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, that's also true. That is. Well, you know, since we done got on to it, we've gotten into it. I don't know what's wrong with my speech today. My tongue is getting in the way of my lips. All right.
Oh, my.
All right, y'all. Today we are talking about how we are conditioned. I don't know. Oh, Lord. How we are conditioned. And this, I'm looking for this to be a very stimulating and deep conversation, actually, because it's a lot out there, man. It's a lot. And you know, we need to awaken people and let them know that we need to wake up, you know, because we headed, you know, Sister Ngoni has hope. You know, she has hope. You know, I can say I have a little faith, but the way it's going, I don't know, y'all. You know, the way we're being conditioned now, you know, and if you go back over the years, you know, they've steady been doing it slowly, slowly, and slowly. But in today's society, it's not that slow. You know, they're basically putting it out there in front of you saying, this is what we're doing. What you going to do to stop it? Now, I know y'all say, Mr. Talk, what you talking about? You just take a look at some of these television shows out there, Intelligence, you know, where they don't put a computer chip in this guy's head so he can see everything going on. Think about that. Then you got RoboCop. Then you got now, what's some of these other sci-fi shows out there? But, I mean, you can look and tell. I mean, look and see. It's right there. You know, and I think it's just wow. But anyway, I got this 13-minute clip I want to play, and then when I come back, we're going to go ahead and get deep into this conversation. All right? And then the title of this clip is The Story of Your Enslavement. So without further ado, here is the clip.
This is the story of your enslavement, how it came to be, and how you can finally be free. Like all animals, human beings want to dominate and exploit the resources around them. At first, we mostly hunted and fished and ate off the land, but then something magical and terrible happened to our minds. We became, alone among the animals, afraid and of future loss. And this was the start of a great tragedy and an even greater possibility. You see, when we become afraid of death, of injury and imprisonment, we become controllable and so valuable in a way that no other resource could ever be. The greatest resource for any human being to control is not natural resources or tools or animals or land, but other human beings. You can frighten an animal because animals are afraid of pain in the moment, but you cannot frighten an animal with a loss of liberty, with torture or imprisonment in the future, because animals have very little sense of tomorrow. You cannot threaten a cow with torture or a sheep with death. You cannot swing a sword at a tree and scream at it to produce more fruit, or hold a burning torch to a field and demand more wheat. You cannot get more eggs by threatening a hen, but you can get a man to give you his eggs by threatening him. Human farming has been the most profitable and destructive occupation throughout history, and it is now reaching its destructive climax. Human society cannot be rationally understood until it is seen for what it is: a series of farms where human farmers own human livestock. Some people get confused because governments provide health care and water and education and roads, and thus imagine that there is some benevolence at work Nothing could be further from the reality. Farmers provide health care and irrigation and training to their livestock. Some people get confused because we are allowed certain liberties and thus imagine that our governments protect our freedoms. But farmers plant their crops a certain distance apart to increase their yields and will allow certain animals larger stalls or fields if it means they will produce more meat and milk. In your country, your tax farm, your farmer grants you certain freedoms, not because he cares about your liberties, but because he wants to increase his profits. Are you beginning to see the nature of the cage you were born into? There have been four major phases of human farming. The first phase in ancient Egypt was direct and brutal human compulsion. Human bodies were controls, but the creative productivity of the human mind remained beyond the reach of the whip and the brand and the shackles. Slaves remained woefully underproductive and required enormous resources to control. The second phase was the Roman model, wherein slaves were granted some capacity for freedom, ingenuity, and creativity, which raised their productivity. This increased the wealth of Rome, and thus the tax income of the Roman government, and with this additional wealth, Rome became an empire, destroying the economic freedoms that fed its power and collapsed. I'm sure that this does not seem entirely unfamiliar. After the collapse of Rome, the feudal model introduced the concept of livestock ownership and taxation. Instead of being directly owned, peasants farmed land that they could retain as long as they paid off the local warlords. This model eventually broke down due to the continual subdivision of productive land and was destroyed during the enclosure movement when land was consolidated and hundreds of thousands of peasants were kicked off their ancestral lands because new farming techniques made larger farms more productive with fewer people. The increased productivity of the later Middle Ages created the excess food required for the expansion of towns and cities, which in turn gave rise to the modern democratic model of human ownership. As displaced peasants flooded into the cities, a huge stock of cheap human capital became available to the rising industrialists, and the ruling class of human farmers quickly realized that they could make more money by letting their livestock choose their own occupations. Under the democratic model, direct slave ownership has been replaced by the mafia model. The mafia rarely owns businesses directly, but rather sends thugs around once a month to steal from the business owners. You are now allowed to choose your own occupation, which raises your productivity, and thus the taxes you can pay to your masters.
Value this time in your life, kids, because this is the time in your life when you still have your choices. And it goes by so fast. When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. Your 20s are a blur. 30s, you raise your family, you make a little money, and you think to yourself, what happened to my 20s? 40s, you grow a little pot belly, you grow another chin. The music starts to get too loud. One of your old girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. 50s, you have a minor surgery. You'll call it a procedure, but it's a surgery. 60s, you'll have a major surgery. The music is still loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anyway. 70s, you and the wife retire to Fort Lauderdale. You start eating dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have lunch around 10, breakfast the night before. Spend most of your time wandering around malls looking for the ultimate soft yogurt and muttering, how come the kids don't call? How come the kids don't call? The 80s, you'll have a major stroke. You end up battling with some Jamaican nurse who your wife can't stand, but who you call mama. Any questions?
Your few freedoms are preserved because they are profitable to your owners. The great challenge of the democratic model is that increases in wealth and freedom threaten the farmers. The ruling classes initially profit from a relatively free market in capital and labor, but as their livestock become more used to their freedoms and growing wealth, they begin to question why they need rulers at all. Ah, well, Nobody ever said that human farming was easy. Keeping the tax livestock securely in the compounds of the ruling classes is a three-phase process. The first is to indoctrinate the young through government, quote, education. As the wealth of democratic countries grew, government schools were universally inflicted in order to control the thoughts and souls of the livestock. The second phase is to turn citizens against each other through the creation of dependent livestock. It is very difficult to rule human beings directly through force, and where it can be achieved, it remains cripplingly underproductive, as can be seen in North Korea. Human beings do not breed well or produce efficiently in direct captivity. Ah, but if human beings believe that they are free, then they will produce much more for their farmers. The best way to maintain this illusion of freedom is to put some of the livestock on the payroll of the farmer. Those cows that become dependent on the existing hierarchy will then attack any other cows who point out the violence, hypocrisy, and immorality of human ownership.
Officers positioned Grant face first on the floor with one officer near his head, a second near his back, and a third officer standing nearby. There appeared to be a brief struggle. Then, a two-year veteran BART officer stands, draws his weapon, and fires.
Freedom is slavery, and slavery is freedom. If you can get the cows to attack each other whenever anybody brings up the reality of their situation, then you don't have to spend nearly as much controlling them directly. Those cows who become dependent upon the stolen largesse of the farmer will violently oppose any questioning of the virtue of human ownership, and the intellectual and artistic classes, always and forever dependent upon the farmers, will say to anyone who demands freedom from ownership, "You will harm your fellow cows." The livestock are thus kept enclosed. By shifting the moral responsibility for the destructiveness of a violent system to those who demand real freedom. The third phase is to invent continual external threats so that the frightened livestock cling to the protection of the farmers. This system of human farming is now nearing its end. The terrible tragedies of modern Western economic systems has occurred not in spite of, but because of, past economic freedoms. The massive increases in Western wealth throughout the 19th century resulted from economic freedoms. And it was this very increase in wealth that fed the size and power of the state. Whenever the livestock become exponentially more productive, you get a corresponding increase in the number of farmers and their dependents. The growth of the state is always proportional to the preceding economic freedoms. Economic freedoms create wealth, and the wealth attracts more thieves and political parasites, whose greed then destroys the economic freedoms. In other words, freedom metastasizes the cancer of the state. The government that starts off the smallest will always end up the largest. This is why there can be no viable and sustainable alternative to a truly free and peaceful society. A society without political rulers, without human ownership, without the violence of taxation and statism. To be truly free is both very easy and very hard. We avoid the horror of our enslavement because it is so painful to see it directly. We dance around the endless violence of our dying system because we fear the attacks of our fellow livestock. But we can only be kept in the cages we refuse to see. wake up. To see the farm is to leave it.
All right, y'all. That was pretty deep. But how many of you really listened to it? That was The Story of Your Enslavement by Stephen Molyneux. Molyneux. Okay, Molyneux. You know, and that was pretty deep. I mean, and the way he explained it, he made it so simple. I mean, so simple. You know, using as cattle, you know, and the farmer. Wow, that's just that's just so simple, but yet so true, so true. Sister Ngoni, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. What'd you think about the clip?
Oh, I think it's excellent, and I wish I'm going to put that link in the chat room. So, because the visuals, the images are powerful. I thought also, really helps to bring the point home.
Right.
But
right.
Yes, I think that it's outstanding the way he put that together, because when you think about the fact that our birth certificates, from the hospital to I believe it goes to the Department of Transportation first, then it goes to the Department of Agriculture. So mm-hmm. you see, just a metaphor. There's more to it than we know. I mean, a lot of people know about how they use the birth certificate trade them around the world and so forth and so on. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I put in the chat, I thought his last words were very profound. To see the farm is to leave it.
Hmm.
So when you were talking earlier when you started the show about, you know, how it looks pretty bad, you know, with things going on, and you were right when you said that it seems that everything is speeded up, you know, it seems so much change is happening so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when it's like the boiling frog syndrome, you know, you heard that one before, right? The boiling frog.
Yeah.
When they turn the heat up real slow and you don't realize that it's getting hotter and hotter. But now I think a lot of people are becoming aware that something's not right.
Mm.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something's not. And not everybody's aware, but, you know, a lot of people are. And just because we don't see it on CNN and ABC and MSNBC, so forth and so on, what I call tell lie vision, then people a lot of times you feel like there's nothing happening, but there is. There's a lot of people that are doing things behind the scenes because they're not going to get on the, you know, so-called primetime news. They're not going to get, if they get anything at all, it'll be, you know, a little spin here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's a lot more going on, I think, than people realize. So that's why I feel hopeful. You know, it's because if you take the time to look, then you see and you hear about those people that are taking the courage to make a difference in many different areas and facets of our lives. You know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the clip I'm going to put that in the chat room, and I hope those that are interested will get a chance to view it, because it's very powerful.
Mm.
It basically tells the story of how we got to where we are now.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just, wow. Why did Mr. Anyway, yeah, we have an interesting conversation going on in the chat room as well. And you know what, though? Looking at that, it's kind of an example of how we are conditioned. You know, we just have to argue with each other, you know, to prove that we are right when there should be, you know, should be some common ground somewhere. But we're so conditioned to be the right one or be the winner, you know, that causes a lot of it feeds right into what the establishment wants us to do.
Well, yes, I won't disagree with you on that point. But then sometimes it's not that, you know, people argue what they believe, what they think they know, and I do the same thing, you know, and you don't know everything, so, you know, but you can be passionate about what you think you know, and so that's why it maybe appears that people just want to be right, but that's not necessarily, I don't think, always the case, but yeah, you know, I guess that happens sometimes, but I'll give you an example of a recent example of how I see we're conditioned. On the show, one of our members, of the Mr. Talk family share some information about a, quote, mock trial.
Uh-huh.
And it was regarding the death or murder of Dr. Martin Luther King. And the government was found guilty of that act. And when the person shared that information, these trials took place in sometime in the 90s. And, you know, it became, it was humorous to some people on the show because, you know, they didn't hear it on CNN or ABC, and the very people that are guilty of the act didn't co-sign it, so it was just rejected and found humorous. And I asked the question in my mind, who named these people's trials mock trial. See how they play with words?
Yeah, I see. Mark.
So the very guilty parties, since they're not going to find themselves guilty, and the people upon themselves to go have a trial and to, you know, go over the evidence and come to a conclusion, but that's not even considered. That's just thrown out of hand. So that's an example, I think, of how we're conditioned. They play with words, like, for instance, the word conspiracy. If you talk about certain things, you'll be branded a conspiracy theorist right away.
Right, right.
And that's just supposed to shut your mouth and shut you down and make you look stupid, because some people don't want to hear about things that are unpleasant because, you know, it makes them uncomfortable, because when you find out certain things, then it's upon you to do something about them. And sometimes I think people just don't want to move out of their comfort zone. I think, who is it, somebody coined the phrase, the no-hassle zone, you know, no hassles, you know. Just be happy, and if you talk about anything that doesn't make you happy, then you're negative. You're doom and gloom. See, that's what I call hedonism.
You say that again, you call it what?
Hedonism. In other words, it's all about fun and having a good time, you know, never mind reality, never mind that there are things in your environment and all around you affecting your very life, you see?
Right.
If you want to be happy, have fun, then that's what I understand to be hedonism, isn't it? Pleasure, only pleasure.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I like that. You know what, though? Here's another thing of conditioning that I don't think we really pay attention to. You know, if you notice the last few weeks, there's been a lot of shootings going on in schools and malls and things of that nature. And I'm thinking about that, and I'm looking at this. I'm like, dang, you know, they want us to be afraid.
Absolutely.
You know, they want us to feel as though we're not safe unless we let the government protect us. You know, and I was saying, you know, it's amazing how every time there's a shooting, you know, the media just blows it up. When, you know, everybody else is like, okay, there's another shooting, okay, wow. You know, but yet it's there to make the masses afraid, to make them feel as though the government is taking care of you, you know, when in actuality they're not. Huh?
How else can they control? Can they maintain their dominance over the people except to put them constantly in a state of fear? You see, the rulers, the masters, or the monarch, or archon, some people call them, which just means ruler, know how our consciousness works. So they work overtime to keep it suppressed. Because gaining knowledge as a result of truth-seeking develops what's called a non-contradictory consciousness, where your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions act as one in harmony. And there's two facets to not knowing. You know, you don't know what you don't know you don't know. You see what I'm saying? So the first facet or element of not knowing is what's called nascience. When you don't have the information, you don't have the data, you're not aware, right? So whatever you do in that state, you're really not responsible because you don't know, okay? But when you ignore reality or the facts or your environment or what's really going on, or you ignore one side of reality because you only want to be happy and have fun, then right. That's when, you know, you are, that's defined as ignorant or ignorance mm-hmm. because you willfully choose. You know, we talked about free will on your show a couple of days ago.
Right,
that's where
right.
your free will comes to be. So to those naysayers that say you don't have free will, yes, you do, because once you know, then you can freely choose which way you're gonna go or what you're gonna do.
Right.
You see, you can willfully choose to ignore the fact that they're trafficking in children in this country to the tune of about, I believe the figure is 400,000 a year disappear, never are heard of again. You see? So if you choose to ignore that, then that's free will, is it not? Are you there, Eric?
Okay, Sister Ngoni, you there?
I guess somehow I couldn't hear you. Could you hear me?
I don't know. It was one of those moments. All right, y'all. Well, I want to bring two people into the conversation with us. I want to bring Joe and Maze into the conversation and, you know, see what they think of this, what's
Maze,
going on.
Not following me.
Hello, Maze. Hello, Joe. How are y'all doing?
Hello.
Greetings, everyone.
Hey.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. So who's going first?
Maze is going first.
Maze is going first. Okay.
Is it wrong? Is it anything wrong to choosing to who you want to listen to and who you want to believe and take the person that you want to look at or the things that you know for a fact that don't make it to the evening news and you know it and somebody else don't know it? And then is it something going to make it to the evening news?
No, it's not wrong.
Because everybody don't believe in religion. That's all I'm doing. But there's
okay.
no reason to have a fight with somebody just because they don't.
Well, that's true.
I agree.
So the person you want to listen to and nobody don't want to listen to them, is that a reason they get upset that they don't want to hear? Let's say it's somebody I listen to, y'all don't want to hear. Is it okay for me to want to listen to them and take what I like about them and that just be me? And y'all take the person that y'all like and I don't like them and
right.
let it be that?
Yeah, it's right.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah,
because
nothing.
That person is talking just like the person that I'm listening to. They're giving their opinion. Like, I get mad, and I don't take this as but an opinion.
Oh, what happened, Maze? Did you get into an argument on BTR talk show before you got over here?
I don't get in an argument with people.
That's
I just
true.
Give
you
what
really
I,
don't.
I just give you what I think and leave it at that.
That's true. You really don't get into arguments. Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
So, Maze, let me ask you a question. Maze, can I ask you a question?
What?
Well, first of all, how are you today?
I'm marvelous, as always.
That's wonderful. I wonder what your opinion is. Is there such thing as objective reality, in your opinion?
No.
No?
So, you say no?
No.
Can you explain to me why you don't believe there's any objective reality? Are you saying that nothing exists outside of yourself?
No, I don't say nothing exists outside of myself. It's like you're groomed to listen to what you want to, and you're groomed, but everybody's not groomed to do that. Some people are groomed to not even be bothered with these things that happen on this planet because children being stolen and scattered all around the world and the places, that's nothing new.
So, in other words, because it's not new, we shouldn't worry about trying to stop it because it's not new.
No.
Is that what you're
saying? No, that's not what I said. I said it is nothing new for this person to come up and have a conversation about it. You've been knowing about this all your life. You know people that it happened to, and there's nothing been done about it then, so if you can't do anything about it...
Joe, fix your phone.
Yeah, I am in a second.
Are we having it for a conversation, or are we having just to do something about it?
Well, do you think it's possible to do anything about it, Maze?
Well, all these years it hadn't been done, so I don't think there's nothing to be done.
Hmm.
That's a very interesting way of looking at it, Maze.
Because it didn't just so happen 15 years ago, 9 years ago. It's been happening ever since slavery. They brought them across the spaceship, from the slave ship, and put them on this shore. Because you have families today that move from plantation to plantation, don't know who their brothers and sisters, or even where to go find them. And what was done about that? Nothing.
So because there wasn't anything done about it, then we shouldn't worry about it, in other words. We should just be happy.
Be happy. No, I didn't say you had to be happy. I'm saying if you're not doing something to do something about it, just to have a conversation or somebody to sell a book and make some money off of it, it's still not anything being done.
Well, how do you think that books have impacted the world in any way? I mean, by changing the minds and you know, giving people information, do you think that has any impact on the world and society at all?
Some of them do. If it's teaching, if it's giving somebody's opinion, and it, no, it's not.
Hmm. So philosophy.
If it's teaching
is
you how to build something, sure. But if it's teaching you just somebody's opinion, and you're not gonna get anything out of it, nothing can be made out of it. No. Nope.
So, in other words, your view is that only practical things matter. Sort of like, what was that Booker T. Washington that believed, you know, put your buckets down where you are versus W.E. Du Bois that the cream rises to the top. I think that was the argument. Are we on the same page, Mays?
There's no plans in the books.
No,
but how to get out of it.
What I'm trying to ask you is do you think that there's any value in philosophy and understanding universal laws and natural laws?
We understand the laws, but we can't do anything about them.
I'm not talking about man-made laws. I'm talking about universal law or natural law.
If the natural law is anything natural, you don't have to worry about it because it comes natural and you use it naturally and you don't have anybody have to worry about it. It's like a plant. That you grow.
What if we're not taught about those laws and we don't know how to align ourselves to them? Do you think that could possibly be why we're living in a world that has 400,000 children coming up missing every year and nobody's doing anything about it or wondering about it, and priests can get away with pedophilia and nothing happens to them? You think maybe that's why we might be living in this kind of a world?
Maybe.
I'm just asking. I don't claim
that's
to know. Asking.
Well, maybe that's what we're living in, and we just got evil people. Hello?
Okay, everybody don't get quiet at one time. What happened? All right. That was strange. All right. So, Maze, you say regardless it happened before, it's going to continue to happen, so we not really don't need to worry about it, huh?
Until we find some way to stop it.
Well, how are we so how are we supposed to stop it if we don't talk about it? Isn't that the first? I mean, you know,
a plan
okay.
stops it.
Huh?
A plan stops it. Not
well,
talking about it.
To a plan?
Writing it in a
but
book.
How do you get to the plan?
How do you get to the plan?
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure that one out.
I mean, you know, okay, in the 60s and the 70s, you know, they did marching and protesting, and that changed a little bit. It didn't change a lot. It changed a little bit. So now we're in 2014, all right? Now, we already know that take what that thing on Wall Street when they had the people sitting outside the
Occupy.
Yeah, Occupy
Wall Street.
Street.
That ain't the first
right.
time that happened. They had people jumping out of the windows the last time
well,
the market went down.
Well, listen, Maze, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so now you say we need a plan. So how do we go about getting that plan and putting it in place? See, because we are already conditioned to fight each other anyway. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then when we do that, we all are also conditioned enough to say, well, you know, we really can't do this because the government – the police, the army, whatever is going to come, you know, arrest us, beat us up, maybe even kill us. So, you know, that fear factor is there also. It's just not, I mean, so how do we get the plan to implement the plan at the same time?
Implement what?
The plan.
What plan? To release people from their conditioning?
Yeah.
Well, people have been trying to do that for years. Alex Jones he's been trying to do it. There have been other people who have been trying to do it. It's extremely hard. And people who are conditioned don't even realize how conditioned they are. Conditioning isn't like Chinese water torture. It isn't like Korean torture from the Korean War. What you've been taught as a kid that stays with him. And people don't know how to free themselves from it, but they think they do, and they really don't. And they go through life believing a certain philosophy, even though facts are slapping them around in the face, and they keep on believing it. Mm. And they think they're not conditioned, but it's brainwashing. The schools have a lot to do with that. They teach us a lot of shit, and we believe it no matter what. If people were free from their conditioning, if it was that easy, then we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. We actually have a republic where people would be prosperous instead of the crap that we're in today.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, you know, I had a train of thought here, and it just blew right on out of my head. You know, because it was something you said, Joe. But I'll find it and get back to it. Well, let's welcome Beasley to the show because we got Mr. Beasley on line also. So, Mr. Beasley, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm listening, and
who's eating?
Not me.
Mute yourself then.
It's so unrealistic to think that people can, you know, just using the conversations that take place on BTR, and I would say BTR is a decent cross-section of society. Maybe not, but there's diversity here. There's people that you can't get people to agree, even people that are of like mind. You can't get them to agree to move forward on anything. People can't even get along with each other. You know, it's a strain to get along with people. I don't think there's a lot of hope for some united front against everything that's taking place.
Hmm.
I know it sounds cynical, but that's really the way that I see it. And I'm sure there's some that may disagree, but when all of the different type of things that get discussed, there's never a consensus. And Joe's right; people bring in their own their set beliefs,
mm-hmm.
and they don't waver from them.
Hmm.
They don't waver from them, particularly the religious beliefs. They don't waver from them.
They don't waver from them, huh?
Do they?
Wow. No?
No.
And maybe that is how can I put it? Maybe that is the problem. You know, they're not free in their own minds. You know? And we can contribute that to conditioning, you know, because you condition to think a certain way. But if you really free your mind of what you're being taught, and you do your research and find out for yourself to fight the conditioning, you know, your mind becomes a freer, more of a weapon then for you than against you. Would you agree to that?
That's a good point, Mr. Talk.
Or it can land you completely unbalanced. The things that you believe and that you were taught when you were young, whether they be religious or whether they be, your allegiance to the United States of America.
I was going to mention that.
Or
yeah.
Communist is bad. I mean, that's mm-hmm. one way that I know that I've been conditioned. Is they?
Well, I never thought communists was bad. If they say so, they didn't need to have to be.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, that's a good point, Mr. Beasley, but nobody said that waking up would be easy or happy or pleasant, you know, to face what's going on in the world. It does make one uncomfortable and unbalanced. And so the point of seeking truth and knowledge to the best of your ability is to have a non-contradictory consciousness where your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions act in harmony as one. And I don't think anybody suggested that conversations on BTR alone is going to change the world, but it's a start for when people can come together. We have a diverse group here that comes to Mr. Talk Show. Maybe 100 years ago, that wouldn't have been possible.
It's a poor story.
It's out in the woods.
BTR right. Is well, a place. Well, I was using BTR and these shows as an example as to how people can get together and not agree.
Mm.
And, but also, also.
And disagree to the point where they don't like and dislike each other to where it gets nasty.
You
and it
also.
Happens all the time, and all of you guys are aware of it. Now, we're more civil on this show just because we're around each other a lot, and we just keep this level, we keep a level of respect, and Mr. Talk's only going to stand for so much. So it works well here. But everywhere else where there's an open, tight form, it doesn't work well.
Well, do you think it doesn't work well, Mr. Beasley, because some people like that kind of environment, you know, the Black Jerry Springer type environment?
I won't lie. I like it. And everyone
else.
I'm
not going to judge you for liking it.
I like it. I like participating in it. Watch the way that it spins around.
I'm not making a judgment. You brought it up, so I'm just asking.
Well, I brought it up because you mentioned something of this awakening of this people and getting together. That's when I called in. I was listening until then, where, you know, the people get together and they fight towards this common cause. And I've listened to even have spoken and listened to people on conservative shows, and they'll agree that there's a paradigm shift going on. And they'll agree that bankers, they'll agree on a lot of things that most of us will agree with. But as far as coming to a consensus and who's to blame and what to do, there's no agreement there.
I agree there's no agreement, and I've never said one word about a common cause or coming together.
I'm not attacking you, my dear. Please don't make it be against you.
I simply believe that each person has a personal responsibility to change themselves. I'm not one who believes in joining, marching, protesting, or any of that. I just want to clarify that. That's all.
All right. Not a problem.
Yeah, and also, Beasley, yeah, you were making the point, I think, that here on BTR, people of like minds can agree on a lot, but they still don't get any work done. They don't get any objectives really accomplished.
No.
And I agree with you.
No.
And BTR is a lousy forum. If people think, you know, it always cracks me up when people say, still fight for your rights. Fuck
yeah,
you're not fighting for anybody's rights. You're a fucking keyboard general. You're fucking behind a computer screen, and you've got your voice out there in BTR. Maybe you've got 20 listeners listening to you. What the fuck are you going to do? If a person is really thinking that they're really doing something, I can call them delusional. But if they really think they're doing something and they don't want to hear anything to the contrary, that then they may not be doing anything, that you point out to them they've only got 20 listeners and they still continue to be the keyboard general, that's really delusional. I mean, they're only doing it for self-aggrandizement. They're not doing it for America.
Joe, let me ask you a question. I heard you say that you are an anarchist. Is that correct?
Anarcho-capitalist.
Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, he done added something to it.
Go ahead, Joe. I thought so. All right. He can do that.
Go ahead, what? Joe.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it's like libertarianism to the extreme. It's where an anarchist isn't somebody who goes around, necessarily going around blowing up buildings. It's somebody who believes that if you're going to have the laws, you can have a republic, but have the laws in such a way that the people consent to the laws. In other words, I don't believe in police, okay? Because you have to take your tax dollars to give it to the politicians to pay off the police, and you know how people are being carried away in handcuffs and how they say, "I know my rights." You got no fucking rights. You're not paying the policeman's salary. It's the mayor or the council members. You're not. You know, I believe if you're going to have security, forget those tax dollars. have a good economy so that you can afford your own private security force, so that in case something happens to you, you can hire the Pinkertons to do you justice. As a matter of fact, the Pinkertons were so large at one time that I think in the state of Ohio, they actually had them disbanded because there had so many people in the Pinkertons. So I believe in that. So I believe in capitalism because I think competition is the one way to really use greed to benefit other people. Because when you have companies competing against one another for consumers' dollars, they're trying to find the lowest prices, the greatest economies of scale, the lowest expenses, the greatest marketing value they can present in order to get your particular money. Now, when you have corporations, as Ngoni, you had talked about a few days ago, laying in bed with the government, you've got fascism. And that's not what I'm about. I'm about pure capitalism. I'm about the fact that if you have community structures of law and order, it's better than having a central government doing everything for you.
But you're not going to have that.
No, we don't have it. Well, we have it in certain states.
No, you don't.
We don't.
Because you're not going to do right.
What do you mean? Yeah, what do you mean, Maze?
First of all.
What do you mean, Maze?
Not going to do right. That's why we have some of the laws on the book that we have today, because people wouldn't do right.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean...
And if they took those laws out of the book today, you got them same people out there and turning right back around and do what they did in the first place.
Well, some laws should be taken off the book so people can actually take advantage of their rights to defend themselves, protect themselves.
Yeah.
But we have too many laws that are protecting people who don't deserve to be protected. There are, you know, there are certain protected groups that they can cry, oh, hate crime, or, oh, you make me feel uncomfortable in the workplace, or, you don't know, you should hire me because...
Well, if you didn't have people sitting back doing things like that, you wouldn't even have to have a law for it, but you don't have people honest enough to treat people right.
Well...
So that's why they are on the book.
The laws are on the books. Because the politicians want the laws on the books to complete their smoke and mirror magic show. You think?
I agree, Joe.
Maybe a combination of the two. I agree with Maze. If people behaved accordingly, there would be no need for these laws.
For people not to behave
if they don't know anything about anything other than, since books are of no use and philosophy is of no use, how can they behave any better if they don't know?
You're getting deeper than I am. I'm thinking real big. I'm thinking about the woman at the workplace walking by and people whistling at her.
And then she gets
her
cousins, her brothers, or she gets the Pinkertons. The thing is, now the pendulum is swung.
Then you have
a spike, yes, of people who are very violent against one another. But just as in the days of yore, when you had the so-called Wild Wild West, when you had the cattle ranchers and you had the sheep herders and you had the cowboys all competing for water streams and land, they were killing off each other until they stopped because they didn't want their nephews, their nieces, their sons, etc., to be killed by, the same kind of mentality that the Hatfields and McCoys had. So they stopped it, and they formed sheriffs, and they formed marshals, community law and order.
And law and order, though.
Go ahead.
You call that law and order? We've hired a bunch of police, or the politicians, rather, hire them and make us pay for it to protect us against people who would murder, rape, and rob us. So we're paying people who murder, rape, and rob around the world to protect us from people who murder, rape, and rob. That's kind of crazy, isn't it?
And I said, you don't have that. The politicians are the ones who put in the police. If you don't have the police, then you have your own private security force. Or if you have a community, if you have a town where people consent that the sheriff is the one who's going to be the one to administer the laws, then you do so. If you don't
consent... Oh, I understood what you said, Joe. Okay. I'm sorry. I understood what you said. I'm trying to ask...
Oh, okay.
That's a pretty big area of conditioning.
Here
in the United States it is, but in Switzerland, in Switzerland it works.
No matter what police do, there's always going to be people that are going to defend them. When you look at, I read the San Francisco Gate. When you read the San Francisco Gate, anytime the cops shoot a suspect, and it could be anybody. It could be somebody in a stolen car. It could be somebody running from a burglar. Anytime they shoot and kill one of them, the comments are, good job, police. Good job, police. Our taxpayers
eliminate
don't have to pay for
police.
This. Yeah. Well, no. Well, what I'm saying is this: is I was just speaking to how people are conditioned.
No, of course, yeah.
People are conditioned. What about this homeless guy that just was beaten to death?
Who?
The homeless guy.
Kelly Thomas.
You know,
yeah.
who was white for a change, was beaten to death in Fullerton. There was a videotape watching it happen. The cops weren't convicted of second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter, and even excessive force. They weren't even convicted of excessive force. So there are people that are conditioned, many people we're conditioned a lot of ways with some of the most wrong behavior of all. There are many people that are conditioned that whatever the United States does militarily is right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that don't question it and think it's good.
No,
how many
of
people,
course not.
How many people have you heard say, oh, why don't we just make powder out of them? Just nuke them. Just nuke those people over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about the kids who are grown?
You're from the culture. Just nuke them. Just wipe them out. Just
what about
drop
the kids?
A bomb on them and this crap will be over with.
What about the kids who have been born?
And then you have some people just leave those people alone in their country and let them do what they need to do. But you got that one group out there wanting to just take them off the face of the earth because they think they're doing something to them and they're not doing nothing to them.
That's right. And the kids, how about your kids today who have been born in the last 10, 15 years who are thinking that the TSA is there to help you out? The TSA is there to protect you. That the Bush policies and the Obama policies are there to protect you. That these people, the 10-year-olds, the 12-year-olds, preteens, they're thinking that the war on terror is a good thing.
Why are people so excited
like
about
people think
the...
Is it like some people think that these teens that walking around, all of them are criminals, some of them debating the way they're dressed? That too. Looking at them in a different light. They don't even know nothing about them. Just like the guy that was on the football player that was letting off some steam. They made him look like he was the worst thing on the planet. Man's very smart. Then they want to sit and talk to him. They want to sit and talk to him and have a conversation after the fact.
Okay. Hold on for a minute. Let me bring Michael in. He's been waiting for a minute now. So let me bring Michael in. All right, Michael, welcome to the show.
You are the problems of the world.
I like when he says that.
Michael, are you there?
I like when he says that. Just the problem of the world.
Okay, well, I guess he's not there right now.
I've been saying it.
Well, since he's not there right now, I want to ask Joe a question, if I might.
Mm. All right, go ahead.
So the question of the day or the topic is, how are we conditioned? And I want to revisit what Joe was talking about when he was talking about the Wild Wild West and how we got to the Pinkertons and the rule of law. And I want to know, what is different today than compared to, you know, what you described of the Wild Wild West and how we got to the Pinkertons? Now we have the police state and crooks up in Washington who, is there a difference? In today and then, now and then?
I would say in magnitude. I would say, though, the incrementalism of the past, since the 1890s, they've really instituted a larger blanket of conditioning over people. And we don't have the rugged individualism as we had back then. We have the school system, which is really pervasive, which really does a great job on kids. As a matter of fact, Einstein once said, and this was, let me see, back in the 1900s, so he said, it's a wondrous child who can escape how the school system just squashes the creativity of a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're not taught.
But Joe, it's like you've been listening, talking to us for 4 or 5 years. And your conditioning didn't make you think that we were the kind of people we are. And some of the things that you've learned, you didn't learn that through a book. You learned it from us listening and the things that we do and how we live. Didn't you?
No.
Yes, you did.
No.
How did you learn if you don't want to admit it?
I'm going to say no to the day
just
I
laugh
die.
About it.
As long as you're on BTR, Mary says no.
Okay, I know you'll say no. Well, then give it the answer to Mr. Talk then, since you don't want to
hear it. Okay, yes. Well, no, because, well, you thought that because I came on BTR that all of a sudden I learned all about the good qualities of the black community? Come on,
that's
you got to be
what
kidding. No, so, no, but that's what you meant, isn't it?
No, that's not what I meant.
No, okay, what do you mean?
The things that you learned, or how we do things, you learned it from us, not out of the book.
How you do things? How the hell do you do
I
things?
I said we.
Yeah, you know, we blacks, right?
Yes, that's
okay,
who you hang around.
So what is it that blacks do that I've learned?
You tell me. You've been around about 4 or 5 years.
Well, you're the one teaching me.
Excuse me?
You're the one teaching me. What'd you teach me?
Oh, okay. Since you don't know nothing, I'll leave it at that.
You learned about our humanity, Joe, if you didn't know it before.
Oh.
And you let me finish.
Okay.
And you learned that we're not some monolithic group that all think the same thing. Now, you may have known that, or you may have thought that in your head, but you're conditioned, we're all conditioned, to think that certain groups think certain ways, and there's no deviations or aberrations. When I hear people talk like that on some of these shows, and I'm mm-hmm. cutting them off left and right, I can't take it anymore. You know, Mexicans do this, and white people do that. I mean, anytime you generalize a whole big pool of people, you're making a really big mistake, and you're not being very thoughtful,
yep.
and you're showing your ignorance. And people do it constantly.
Well, we all have some. How you guys, gentlemen, ladies, doing? We all have some ignorant about us, and see, people probably say why I say I come from the ghetto, because the reason why, and I said it last night, the reason why I do it is just not because I'm smart or no dumber, because I know all of us on BTR, and it's good that we're from different backgrounds, and we can come to this round table from all of our different backgrounds, white, Mexican, and talk and dialogue. It's very interesting. Most people can't do it on regular TV, so we have our advantages and disadvantages on BTR. And when I say that, when I can say, listen, I want you to picture, you may be from a different background, but I can dialogue and I can talk about a topic. See, that's why we have to have some togetherness. But, Joe, I really have a problem about what you're saying. You keep on saying it and repeating it. And if you listen to Mason Beasley, they're saying what you're saying can't be true. You always say that people who have a BTR show, and you demean BTR, and how can you demean something that you enjoy every day and say it doesn't have any influence on you? Hold on, listen. Hold up. I'm not finished.
You could be a heroin addict.
It's very important.
Stop doing
he brung
it.
This.
Go ahead.
Right, but I'm saying. But what I'm saying is none of us are doing nothing illegal, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're having a good time. Or maybe, right.
I'm so mad.
Now, what I'm saying is when he
shit.
Comes along and he says that someone who has their show on BTR think that they're going to change something, they're going to do something, no. No one show can change something. How do you know, Joe, that you haven't said something out of this, only been on it for a year, you haven't said something in a dialogue that I said, well, wow, I didn't never think of that. And it may influence me. So, Joe, when you say these things, mm-hmm. I think you should think about what you're saying and don't diminish what you like. Because, I mean, we all influence each other every day. That's a fact. Sometimes if someone makes me mad, it may influence me to do something. I don't know. I'm just saying, when you look up the word influence, it says influence, but it means to influence or, you know, to make someone change the outcome or thought. That's all. But having said that, once we all hang up this phone, I know, Joe, we're going to do what the hell we want. So that's all I wanted to say so far.
You know, but what I like when I get a book, this is what I like when I get a book. If I need to know how to do something, I want to go through that book so I can know how to do it. If I want to buy a sewing machine and I don't know how to sew, I want to get that book so it can teach me how to make a dress. If I want to know how to cook a cake or something, I want to go to that book so it can show me how to make a cake. Or if I want to use a book to do things like that, that's what I like books. So I don't like for books for somebody else's opinion to be in it and they're not giving me no way. It's just a book. And you talk, and I don't spend my money, but I still ain't got nothing out of it.
That's why I say things that I say about people that write books, because I got plenty of them sitting on my bookshelf. And I can count the dollars that I spent, but it's just like Rich Dad Poor Dad. I learned a lot of things about Rich Dad Poor Dad because it was showing how you balance and use your money and make your money make money for you. Those kind of books, I will get one any day. But the other books, where people just selling them just to make a book, I don't think so. I'm not buying any of those kind of books anymore.
And what type of books are those, Maze?
What?
I guess the books have to have pictures in it.
No, that's not what I said. You can read to learn how to do things. You don't need pictures.
Well, I'm just asking.
No, what pictures got to do?
She's talking about cooking books. You was visualizing cooking books and stuff. That's what he was saying. I don't know, Mr. Sarge.
I just want to learn how
you gotta see the final outcome.
I just wanted to clarify.
If you knew what
she said books, you know, that
I said, if I want a book, I want a book to show me how I can do something. If I want to learn how to knit, I can get a book and I can read it, and it can tell me step by step how many stitches I need to make an afghan.
What about the books that help you free your mind of the clutter that's all up in it? What about books?
I don't have any up there because those kind of – I told you I got a bookshelf for those.
Right.
When I used to buy them, when I was, like, stuck out there and listened to all these crazy people, what about this book? It tells you how to do – but I haven't learned how – I didn't learn how to do nothing from them.
Self-help
books.
Kind
of books.
That's why they get rich off of self-help books, and all of those health books will never give you peace in your life. Now, I know some books has measurement, like a cookbook has measurement, an IT book where you have measurement, but she's saying that you have books of theory. The conclusions up to their books at the end of the day is just what the hell they think. It's how their observation. So when you apply these steps, they will tell you, they will never tell you like a cookbook. For instance, if someone says, take these 5 steps so you can get rich, if you take those 5 steps, it's no guarantee. But if you give me a cookbook and you say, take these 5 measurements and do this, you can get it because it's factual information. So that's what I think she's saying.
Mr. Talk, I have a book that Your Body Cries for Water. I read in that book how much your body needs water. It's telling me that my body needs water, and I can live off water for 2 or 3 days. That book told me different things that I know. But you find these books with these people talking about the government this and the government that. Then what is it doing for me besides knowing that something I already know, see with my own eyes? Why you got to put it in a book for me? What is it supposed to do?
Because everybody is not like you, Maze, and have
I know everybody's
all...
not like me. I don't want everybody to be like me. That's what I'm saying. I don't get upset with people that buy those books. I said I got a shelf full of them.
Wait a minute.
I even got the book. And the reason I have the book is all
wait, hold on, hold on. So you got a bookshelf full of books, and you're saying out of all those books, besides the ones that's telling you how to do something, you have read these books, but yet you have not used any of that in your life at all.
No, because there's nothing in my life to use books.
Well, why do you have the books?
Because I didn't know any better at the time when I was blind.
Well, Maze, you know what? You know that's
you know
kind of
what?
That's you know what? No, 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 no. See, that's the kind of conditioning that you
no,
know
no, no,
is
no.
crazy because see, you saying you haven't, but I'm sure some way, somehow in your life you have used something out of those books. Now you may not consciously want to admit it, but I guarantee you have used something out of those books that you say you didn't learn anything out of.
I did.
Well.
Because
did
I purchased
a
book called
Did you buy a book and How to Argue?
I bought a book called Different and Wonderful. No, no, no. Let me explain something.
She didn't find anything that she can apply and do anything about.
Yes, I couldn't apply nothing out of it, but I bought a book called Different and Wonderful. And I took it, and it was done by a black psychiatrist. She was showing how they started in fourth grade with little boys, how they destroyed them in the class. And I took that book, and I used that book in order to keep a whole lot of boys that was in fourth grade from being stereotyped the way they do it with that book. But some of those other books, I can't take it and do nothing with it. It's just like the book we're going with the wind. I got it, I read it, and I still have it, and it's worth a lot of money, and the reason why I'm still keeping hold to that.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. Now, we're not talking about books like Gone with the Wind. Come on, Maze.
But that's the way the other stuff is. Is it like Gone with the Wind?
Maze. See, we're not talking about those kind of books.
I purchased
we're talking
books
about...
that don't have value to it. Like the Nunya Roosh and all them kind of books, they can stay outside my bookshelf.
Okay, Maze, you went to somewhere totally different, dude. Okay, all right.
That's what I'm saying.
Now I see what you're talking about now. I see what you're talking about. Okay, okay.
Now you got it.
Yeah, got it. You crazy as hell. But anyway.
But I'm crazy. It may be.
Well, are you talking about, like, autobiographies? Like you read someone's life story, Mr. Talk, because it's a lot of different books. Are you saying something like that? Some story can self-help, you can learn something from somebody, you know, life story?
Well, not even a life story. I mean, people can learn things from reading others' biographies, and, you know, some people can't. You know, and I guess that all depends on the comprehension and what stage of life you're in. That's all I got to say. But, you know, what I'm talking about is books. Are books like, you know, on politics or books on, say, Africa, you know, the state of Africa or something like that. You know, something that you can use that's really, you don't have to, let's see, be an expert on it, but you can learn a little out of it. And some books
you can learn
read,
a lot. You
what,
just can't
Beasley,
apply
let me
it to
finish.
Make any changes in your life. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You know, and you just use it to make changes. Yeah, like Beasley said, make changes in your life. You know, that's
but
what I'm
hard.
Talking about.
Yeah.
Well, wait, I got a beef with Beasley.
Well,
he said
no,
you,
right.
Oh, no, I don't want to fight.
Like, oh, wait a minute.
Fight.
I want to respond to Beasley.
Oh, no.
Mr. Beasley, you can't
have
make
change.
If I heard him right.
They make me prove I'm not a punk. Come on.
No, no, wait a minute. Now, if I heard you right, Mr. Beasley, you said you can't use it to make changes in your life. Did I hear you right?
Well, depending on the book. And I've read a few books, and some of these books that I've read, I read it because I enjoy the story. I was thinking of biographies. I've read many biographies, because people have lived interesting lives. And, you know, I read the book, I know that much more about them.
Okay, but your statement, if I understood it, correct me if I'm wrong, was that you read those books. Your choice was biographies, and you
no,
were making
all
a statement.
No, I read all kinds of stuff, but go ahead.
I'm just asking a question. Let me just finish, please.
Sure.
If I understood you correctly, you said that you couldn't use those books that you read to change your life. Is that right?
Not quite that, dog.
I was really paraphrasing what Mays is saying. I haven't even considered that reading these books, I would be making a change for my life. I read those books because I was interested in the figure. And
I wasn't asking why you read the books, Mr.
No,
Beasley.
I was really trying to clarify for the rest of you what I thought Mays was saying. I was
okay. Now I understand.
And I haven't even ever thought about that in my own life. So I was really just trying to clarify what Mays was saying because you guys were having a hard time understanding her, it seemed, and I kind of got what she was saying.
Okay, thank you very much. If you read a book and you you say, for instance, you have a belief. Let's just use Christianity for an example. Say you profess to believe in Christianity, and you read history books about certain time periods in, you know, previous times, and you study the history of Christianity. Do you think it's possible that you could learn something about why you believe or profess to believe in the religion that you believe in?
Right.
You think
you read some of those history books, it'll make you take religion and throw it in the trash can.
Well, I know that, Mr. Beasley. You're messing my point up. You just messed it all up, Mr. Beasley.
No, I'm sorry, but I mean, what?
My question was, because I'm trying to get to whether or not I understand where Mace is coming from. What I hear her saying is that for her, books only have value as in a practical, utilitarian way that she can do something with that information, create something, or is that right, Mays?
Yes.
Okay, and I respect that, but I have a problem with the fact of erasing all value from other books like history,
All different categories of
even a biography it's possible that if you read the story of someone's life, it's possible for you to gain some insight about life in your own life.
Oh,
it's possible.
Let me try to clarify this. Hey, Bees, let me try to clarify.
I didn't say I didn't like history books.
And Maze.
History books help you do things.
What Bees was saying was that if you read these other books that you can, he wasn't saying it was impossible to apply it to your life. He was saying there are people who will read the book.
I got that, Joe. Mr. Beasley already clarified to me where he was coming from. I moved forward.
I asked another question altogether. What Mace was saying, and the other question that you asked me,
I asked was in general. The question I asked because I was.
What's the question now, Angonia?
I'm sorry?
What's the question now?
Can we get some order, please?
I didn't say I didn't like history books.
I never said you did, Maze.
Okay.
And see, if Joe had kept his mouth shut, that wouldn't ever came up.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you set your question again, Nagoni?
What I was asking was, because Maze sees value in books as a practical matter, something she can use, something she can create something with. I got that. Now, Beasley, if I understood him correctly, was saying that he read biographies, so forth and so on, and they didn't particularly change his life. So then I went further and asked the question, does anybody see value in history books? And I made a specific question. I said, say, for instance, someone is a professed Christian. Does anybody think that reading books on history could actually teach someone why they believe in what they profess to believe in? If they understood history when Christianity was created, would that help clarify what you believe in? That's all I was trying to ask.
Okay.
I don't know. In my opinion...
Or it would confuse the hell out of you.
Right.
In my opinion, accurate history book and the story of Christianity...
Are you going to do it again, Mr. Beasley, huh? You going to step on it one more time. Go ahead.
Let him finish, Nicole.
You know what?
I'm just teasing you, Mr. Beasley.
No, I'm trying to answer it, but my answer doesn't really just fit into that box.
No, you already did.
Then I'll leave it alone.
I want to hear his answer.
Can I bring up a case of history, if you're reading history.
Well, let's talk about conditioning.
I don't think they're going to mesh with one another. I think they're going to have more conflict. And I think that I think someone would probably stick to their faith and think that history was bunk. But look at how many things that don't jibe. That don't mesh with one another. Okay.
Well, either Joe answered, and I'm confusing Joe's answer with yours, Mr. Beasley, or you just flip flopped because somebody said if you read books about history, you probably would throw your belief out the window.
I said that.
That's what I thought you did. So you flip flopped on.
But I know how people are with their faith. That they will hold on to their faith. They've been conditioned. Back to the topic. They've been conditioned that their faith is direct from God and it's most important, and all of this other stuff doesn't really make sense.
I don't have an issue with that because I think everybody has free will and a right to do whatever they want to when they read a book. I'm sorry, Miss Mays, what'd you say?
Why do you read books?
How do I read books or why do I read
why?
Books?
Yes.
Because I want to learn about history. I want to learn about life. I want to learn how to think properly. I want to learn how to be able to identify why I choose to believe something that I claim to believe. I want to know both sides of an issue, not just my side.
You're feeding your mind. You're gaining knowledge and information, and it allows you to think.
I've seen, and
I know you've been reading a lot lately over these past 4 or 5 months because your ideas and the things that you're saying, they've crystallized. They've crystallized. A lot has come together. You could hear it in the confidence, the way that you speak about things.
Well, actually, it's not that I've been reading as much. I haven't been reading over the last 4 or 5 months. I've been very distracted over the last 4 or 5 months, and I'm refocusing on things that I've already studied and focusing more on, in that response, getting back to studying is what I'm.
Well, I was wrong. Can't even give you a compliment, huh?
No,
well, can I make a couple of points?
That's true. That's all.
Yeah, Beasley.
Okay, let
can
me,
I get
let
a
me
couple
ask this
of points
question.
Then?
Wait a minute, Michael. Let me ask this question,
okay.
And then we let Mike get his point. You know, I'm listening, and we done cover books. So basically, we break it down to fiction, nonfiction, okay? Basically, Mays don't do nonfiction books, okay? But this is what I want to ask. As far as conditioning, you know, I know quite a few of y'all here on my show go around on BTR on other shows. Could it possibly be that you're conditioned just by listening to other shows and what other people are saying? Could it be that? Could that happen?
Okay, can I answer that first? Yes, we're all conditioned every day. We're all influencing each other every day. But having said that, I'm letting you know, me, you have to, you can't, you have to have a mature mind. When I hang up this phone, I don't do nothing crazy where, like, for instance, if I hear some crazy stuff on BTR, I'm not going to go do nothing crazy, so I have a sense of what I'm going to do. But it does influence me by thinking about why people think certain things like that, or, you know, certain things like that, or opinions. Or someone may say, I may not look at, they may say something, and I never thought of that, you know. So I get something back from somebody. But I just want to ask this question, though. Ms. Nagoni, you're right. When it comes, we had cases about evolution in this country. We fought about the religious and evolution. When we go to schools, we tell our kids, does the dinosaur exist? So kids are in conflict. People are being influenced every single day by our conversations every single day. We try to influence each other when we try to give our opinion about a topic. We try to condition somebody to either say, well, look at this on my point of view. We do it every time. So even, I'm going to say this, when you look at those history books factually, the historians debate. When I went to my English class, the title was Everything Has an Argument. So if the historians are debating, there's some things about history we have, but all of history, it's a theory. So those books that you go and you're getting a visualization of a man saying this is exact happened, It's theory, it's not a fact. So you have to separate the facts from the theory. And I'm letting you know, in our society, look at our politics, look at the school boards, the different curriculums. They're trying to condition you, and they come with a lot of different theories and philosophies.
Mike,
and we're all conditioned, influenced. It contradicts each other, and sometimes that's why we're confused,
Donnie.
So we're all conditioning each other.
Michael. Do you think there was a civil war?
Huh?
Yes, I know it was a civil war. Yes,
that's
facts. That can be measured because it can be measured. It has documentation. It can be measured. They have pictures. We have photographs. But when you're talking about the ancient Egypt, exactly how things were done, past how things were done, no, you can't do that because the mind, every historian, every science and scholar says the mind can only go back before far. The Big Bang is a theory. So,
all right, hold on. Let me bring Chef Rob in. We haven't heard from him in a while. Oh, Chef Rob, what's going on, man? Where you been?
I've been a little bit busy. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
hey, Mike. Well, you talking in circles again? Before I get started, I just want you to think
we're
about
talking in circles. Just going to say what you got to say. We don't need to hear that.
Hey, wait a minute. Back up, man.
And for real, because Maze, you was talking real crazy, and I let all that.
I know you think I'm talking crazy. You just
you
don't know what you got to say. We don't need to hear all of that.
You talking all that?
We having a conversation. We having a conversation.
Hey! All right, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to get into it. You know, Mike, you owe me money, so I need my cash. Look, Maze, you were talking all that nonsense about books. I mean, you wouldn't have got nowhere near in your life what you got now if it wasn't for books. And what that is what people's – this is a, some people go here and write books because they're the actual practical. They put their hands involved. They got involved in it. But this is all the influence in individuals. That's what books and all this other stuff is. And to go ahead and condition people, they've been going ahead and have a plan for years. They're just acting and refining the plan. And it breaks down to some of the stuff that Joe was saying about greed. It's all about greed. That's why you got these books. That's why you got schools. That's why you got politicians to push to make these crappy laws. And you got the media to go ahead and push their information. And you got dumbass people walking around. So, you know, it's
you showed it. You showed him. I'm thinking I love him.
You got it's all this stuff is just for greed, and biggest thing is you got more con men involved in going ahead and pushing lies and nonsense. So you do need books, but you need to go ahead and use some common sense when you read them.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm surprised Mike stayed quiet through all that. Did you mute him?
No.
Mike. Oh.
Mike owed me money.
I want to ask Jeff Rob.
We need to know all of that.
Hi, Jeff Rob. This is Ngoni speaking.
How you doing?
I'm good. Could I ask you how you would answer the question, how are we conditioned?
Okay, so what do you mean by conditioned? Conditioned?
Well, I would use the term brainwashed.
I mean, for what? I mean, in what aspect? I mean, everybody's – we're all conditioned to do something. I'm going to try to answer it the best way I can. We're all conditioned to do something. And you're conditioned to go ahead and say this is the greatest country on earth, and if you never even left this country. You know,
well,
you're conditioned to go ahead and say that, hey, it's all great in America when you go ahead and look at the healthcare situation. We got places where healthcare is free. So, you know, you're conditioned that this is a great place because you got all this other stuff bombarding you with all of this nonsense and these phrases so you can go ahead and support this place. But when you go ahead and you step outside this place and you see how other people are living, some people living bad, but some people living good with less, this is not such a great place to be. A lot of people are lying, and they got reasons to do that because it's all greed involved.
I agree.
Great.
Thank
answer.
You.
I don't agree.
Yep. No, I know. I agree.
I guess
oh,
I'm on mute.
Yeah. No, you're not on mute. We just not paying you any
just
attention.
Talk.
What, man? What?
It's what I was saying. He came on and telling Mike he owed him some money. Did he tell us that he was going to give Mike some money? We didn't know about that then. We don't need to know about it now. Keep that between him and Mike.
Wait.
Halt before we even get started going there. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about, so okay. He
it
said
doesn't.
It.
I was just,
he
I was
said
just,
it. You just re-mentioned it, and that's it. Move on.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. So, Rob, let me ask you this question, and I'm just going to throw this out there. So do you believe we are conditioned to believe that we have, free will or free choice?
Yes. Every day you always talk about your freedom of speech and all this other stuff, and I have rights. But when you try to go ahead and apply your freedom of speech, they'll arrest your ass. You go ahead and you say, hey, you got rights, they're going to put the cuffs on your ass tighter. So all that's an illusion, man. You go ahead, you open your eyes and go ahead, what's going on in the real world? None of, and especially
right.
in America, none of that stuff matters. Because if you go ahead and you look at this whole thing about the economic collapse in this country, and then I'm going to go ahead and throw Iceland. I think it's Iceland. In the U.S., not one politician, not one banker is going to jail by all the problems they had. I think in Iceland, they were sent to jail.
It is Iceland.
Yeah, sending people to jail. So you just think about that. Free will, you can go ahead and steal a lawnmower here worth about $300, but if you steal $2.5 million, $6 million, I don't see too many of these people going to jail. You can go ahead and go
you
throughout
mean trillion.
The internet.
It's
no,
called
no,
a banana
no.
republic.
No. I'm talking about some of these bankers and some of these people who are even low-level people. I'm not talking about
a banana republic. Have you ever heard of that, Joe? Y'all?
A
banana republic.
No,
we
I
bailed
think
the poor people.
A banana republic, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I want to know what Jeff Rob's
we do it all the time.
I want to know what Jeff Rob's book for.
To educate myself, to go ahead and get
on what?
To go ahead for me in my field, I got to go ahead and learn how other people did things who were successful, and even the people who were failures. So I don't make them same damn mistakes. So I can go ahead and grow in my business. You go ahead. These are other people's opinions, other people's experiments. This is other people's how they did the research on stuff. That's what a lot of books are for. So they go ahead and in my field, I got to go ahead and look at books. I can't throw none of that stuff in the way, sir.
I don't read too much nonfiction either, Maze. Very little. But I have read
people got them mixed up. Maze reads
but
nonfiction.
But your cookbook
Maze reads
nonfiction. Information,
when
right?
When Maze reads a cookbook or she reads a book
I was telling
Chang,
no, I was telling you I don't need no book from somebody that done been a crook and somebody can tell me how Maze should have been.
What is the difference between a cookbook
like if you take All in Offer, if you take a book like All in Offer, I don't want to read it.
Chef Rob, what is the difference between a cookbook and a book about a self-improvement book?
Actually, the cookbook is a way to go ahead. It's a self-improvement book because it gives you greater knowledge on a particular recipe. I mean, if you look at some professional cookbooks, they don't have like a cup here, cup there. They have pounds and ounces to go ahead for these recipes.
Still a measurement.
Could you hold on? Let me speak.
No.
Let me finish. So you understand.
Lord.
With these books, you got to go ahead and you're not going to go ahead and use those big amounts to go ahead and make enough food for four people. So you got to go ahead and learn simple math to go ahead and convert these things. That enhances you and go ahead so pay attention to what you're doing so you don't spend a lot of money wasting stuff. And go ahead and get your little math skills. It has that's what I use books for. And you
that's
go
what
ahead
I said,
and
I use them for.
Okay, but listen, there's a big difference between your – I agree with you because it's measurements. I agree with you, and you can learn from that. I have to use computer books. I'm not saying dummy. But the big difference between your cookbook and I'm buying a book saying if you want to have a better merch, one is fact and measurements that I can replicate and do it over and over again, and one is coming from someone's opinion and their only observation and their own experience about the people that they deal with. I cannot exactly apply it and say that I'm going to have a happy
okay,
marriage.
Hold on.
Big difference.
Okay, enough, because we're getting back on that book kick all over again. I thought we had to settle that. So hold
well,
on. Let me bring
you, though.
Yeah, I'm not conditioned to hear all that right now. Look, I'm not conditioned to hear all that right now, okay? So let me bring Mr. Solutions in. Mr. Solutions, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. How is everyone? Hello.
All right.
Yeah, I just want to focus on just a couple of items. The conditioning, we all are conditioned. I think a gentleman just said that, and it's just how we are conditioned. And by the way, let me say also, greed is good. If you substitute the word greed for obsession or compulsion, you know, virtually every invention we've had has been the result of someone who had a compulsion, whether it was Henry Ford or Edison or whomever, you know, they were obsessed with what they were doing. And the thing is, the great American system, and I agree that America is not the greatest place in the world. I correct the racist and the agnostics and the atheist and even the morons when they say
and
that.
And the Christian.
Okay, them too.
Obsession and greed is not normal.
Yeah, but see, the thing of it is that what they fail to say is that if you're poor and you don't have opportunity, America has the possibility, even advance it to the probability of offering you a little bit more. But if you take, and I've said this before, if you take Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, there are very wealthy people in Haiti, and they would not come to America. So, I mean, we need to disabuse ourselves of the knowledge that America is just so great. It's great if you don't have anything. But there are people who get along very well in their countries, and a lot of times they have a lot less. Now, with respect to, I think it was Joe and May, which May kind of waffled. She didn't go ahead and state her case to Joe. What has Joe allegedly learned about being around people who are black? Now, generally, I often say people don't even define what black means. But at the same time, you don't have to convince anyone who you are if you have wealth and power. You just
and you don't have it, so you're not convincing anybody. That's not why I asked you that question.
Hey, shut up a minute. You wouldn't
say that.
Well, we
need
to address some of these things, Mr. Solution, the sand and clear the waters here.
Let me
we need to define some of these words.
Let him finish.
Okay.
Thank you, Eric, the voice of sanity. As most in America, this is a statistic, three-quarters of black Americans, or those who identify themselves as black Americans, are at or below the poverty level. Now, they talk a lot of crap, but they have no power. And no one really wants to hear what you have to say if you don't have any power. You can get most of what you want through the legal system, but you've got to hire an attorney. And most of you, the people who are yelling, can't do that. So you just have to understand in a capitalistic system, and if we want to talk about conditioning, and this is an actuality, in a capitalistic system, you don't get a damn thing unless you can pay for it. You can't march your way into prosperity. You have to work your way into prosperity.
And by the way, you're not going to get justice without any resources.
Can I respond to this man? Joe?
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you about some stock that you could go and purchase since he think everybody on here is poor and don't have nothing and that he's the only one? You're not the only one. Mrs. Illusion makes this statement.
Mrs. Illusion says this. He says that everybody on BTR, 90% of us, are on subsidies and 10% of digital. See, you don't do that. You don't know nothing about my resources, my bank account, no nothing. Won't you just stay on top? I know how to fix this.
I know how to fix this. All right. Now, see, y'all get some mess started, and he didn't say all that right now. He was trying to explain something, and y'all just took it and ran with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good Lord, we're not having that. And I told y'all, we are not having that. Now, if you want to discuss what he said logically, then go ahead. But all this, what y'all talking about right now, that's old news. Let's talk about what he said a few minutes ago. All right? Thank you. Go right ahead, y'all.
Yes, Paul getting preoccupied with the details of the argument.
So we had a conversation one day that I was telling him about some stocks that he could purchase. So that's why I asked him the question, didn't he learn a lot about us by listening to us over the years, that we were not slow people, and we invest just like he invests, and we know just as much about money as he does, and we're not poor people. That's what I told Joe one day, since Mr. whatever his name is, flapping at the lip. That's what I had to say. That's it.
But, Maze, what did that have to do with anything he just said?
Because he always talks about poor people. He don't know.
It's one of the minor details of his larger argument. That's what we do.
And that's what I was asking.
Maze came in because 90% of black people did this and 10% of black people didn't do that. And Maze came in on that.
Anyway, go ahead, Michael.
I just want to say something. Let's get something real quick. With greed and obsession, to see, I don't know everything. I'm not smarter than nobody. Me and Mr. Solution, Mr. Talk, we're hungry. They have three fish, right, on the plate for all of us to eat. I come and I take two. Mr. Solution, he comes, takes one. Mr. Talk has none. Greed was me. I was greedy. Because I took more than I needed. That's greed. That's not looking out for the other person. That don't have nothing to do with obsession a little bit. I may not have a girl, but I'm obsessed over this particular girl. And I'm just focused on that one. I totally desire that. That's totally different. See, greed is saying that I'm fearful of the future. I want to get a more fish because after I eat this fish, I might be hungry again. I'm not thinking of others. That's what greed is. So don't mix with greed in the section, bro. That's all I want to say when you clarify these things. That's all I want to say, Mr. Tom.
Mike made a good point.
Well, that's one aspect of greed. But when you're talking about capitalism, greed is the engine that fuels capitalism, okay? It's self-interest. Again, when companies are competing against one another for the consumer's dollar, it's the greed for that consumer, for the consumer's dollar, not necessarily looking out for his benefit, but for the consumer's dollar, that makes the capitalist system work well, unless you've got government messing it up, or unless you've got people unless you've got corporations, which, like the Rockefellers, may want to eliminate the competition physically, okay?
Right. If it wasn't for government stepping in the early 1900s and breaking up the monopolies in oil and steel and the other monopolies that existed, we'd live in a much different country. And breaking up the monopolies, when there's a monopoly, it doesn't benefit the consumer at all.
In college, they'll teach you that the monopolies were broken up by the capitalists themselves because they didn't break up the monopoly. That was an illusion. Rockefeller supposedly had his oil monopoly broken up, but he actually prospered more when it was broken up because that's the way, supposedly, that he had planned it.
Not surprised.
You know,
I'm not surprised. I mean, look at what happened with AT&T in 1984. Big antitrust suit.
Yeah,
they break it up.
Yeah.
Now, 25 years later, it's all back under AT&T again. They broke up and split and divided, and You had all these different companies, and now it's all back under one again. So,
you know.
Right, right. I agree that there does have to be some control at a certain point because you get into the violation of liberties. But look here, the competition amongst people, amongst corporations, if you take, for example, if you look at a basketball team or a baseball team, they're out there to win. They're playing by the rules. There are rules. Let's make that clear. But within the limits of those rules, they're winning everything they can get, and that's okay. What often happens is you have losers or people who don't know how to play the game or who don't want to learn how to play the game always complaining against it. But this is the best game in the business. I mean, I love competition. Competition is good. And I like the fact that some people are greedy because that motivates them to do things that can ultimately benefit me and all of us. I think we have to broaden our horizons to see that. What do you think?
I don't think greed is good. Greed is bad because it gets people to go hit greed to go ahead and push people to do anything to get that money, to get that riches, to go ahead and to stack their loot. They'll do anything to go ahead and do that. So that's why you got stuff breaking down and being degenerative. Greed go ahead and is harmful to every society. Think about it.
I agree, and I've worked in situations where it's highly competitive, and there's a sense of greed or the whole idea of the greed is good, but it's not good because
it's end you up behind bars.
Well, you put somebody when you know what did the guy used to say where I worked? He said, you know, it's good to be hungry. He says, because a hungry guy will let you eat. He said, but a greedy guy will let you eat.
But greed without rules.
I'm sorry.
Greed without rules.
You're a businessman, right?
I guess you can call me that.
Yeah.
I'd be good.
Well,
you're the 10% on
business.
I'm damn sure not no physical laborer, but go ahead.
So what if you substitute the word obsession or compulsion?
That's a different word now. That's a different word.
Exactly.
That's a different word. It means different things.
You wouldn't say there's any relationship between the two?
An obsession can be unhealthy, but I understood your point. If someone,
right.
You know, if someone's trying to achieve something or discover something, they're obsessed with doing it. They have a compulsion where they get up in the morning, they get up in the morning, they work on this thing, and they can't stop working on it until they fall asleep. And when they get up, they're obsessed and motivated and moved to try to, you know, figure out how to make electricity work or the light bulb come on.
The arguments are going in two different directions, but you're both right. Solutions and
but
Chef Rob are both right.
Go ahead. Let him finish.
How can
He's
you
trying to make
being
his point.
To being number one and successful? See, you see, me being, I don't have to do that. See, I know when I be successful, other people are going to help me be other people, but I'm not going to be greedy.
There's a lesson to be learned here if someone will actually get it. So what is greed? What are you defining as greed?
I thought I defined it to you by giving the situation. Getting more than the,
you know what
more
greed
than
is,
you
Mike?
Need.
Greed is you taking all
the
greed.
Wait, Michael, that wasn't sufficient. We understood that, but that was insufficient in the myriad of life circumstances. That was insufficient.
Greed,
that was an insufficient example.
Real greed creates an imbalance where someone has all and the other one has little or nothing. Now, greed would be, you know, Mike took all three fishes and cut off the tails and let you guys eat the tails and the fins.
Well, that's not capitalism. See, that's the whole thing. We've got two different issues here. Greed is
That's a good point. Go ahead, Joe.
Greed is being used in capitalism as, again, fuel competition. What Schaeffer's talking about is also very, very true. You can have the Rockefellers all without capitalism. You can have people who are very greedy, and you have gangs, and you have people robbing one another. But that's not capitalism. That's theft.
Right. Capitalism is controlled, motivation and regarding the acquisition of wealth. You can't do anything to get it, and you can't kill people to get it. We're not allowing – see, we need to more clearly define our terms. So I think greed is good in a capitalistic context.
And that's important to know. In a capitalistic context, without the capitalistic context, then you have theft, larceny, extortion.
I'll get you back in a minute.
I'm going to play with the word for a minute, Mr. Solution. If greed is good, how come no one will identify themselves as greedy?
that's a wonderful question. It's the same thing because they've been conditioned not to see the beautiful side as something that's often presented as only ugly. For example, there's good pride. There is good selfishness. I talk about this all the time. The average person.
And that's what we're confusing. See, and listen, keep on saying what you're saying.
Let him finish, Mike.
Okay,
please.
I'm going to finish.
Let him finish.
This is the side of people who don't think very deeply or very concretely.
You're not thinking.
Let him finish.
I have to have an appropriate amount of pride to keep myself looking appropriately or presentable. And the same thing, like if you talk about selfishness, if I do something good for someone, I at least want their appreciation. If I were to buy my neighbor, who I perceived as in need, a bag of groceries and took it to my neighbor, and my neighbor took that bag of groceries, threw it down, and spat on it, well, I wouldn't have gotten the reciprocal response that I deserved. I at least wanted some appreciation. I may not want them to do anything back, you know, for me, but minimally to appreciate what I did. And so I think that, you know, with respect to greed, we often don't understand. Now, I put it in very succinct terms, in precise terms, greed within a capitalistic context. And I'm assuming...
Wow.
Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, all the laws are in place. I'm not saying people can kill. See, what you're doing is you're mixing up the connotative with the denotative. And the connotative is your experience or what you think something should be.
I understand where you're coming from. I'm not a fool, Mr. Solution, but I want you explaining why we, those lawyers, this is why we fuss all the time in our politics, because we have no clear definition of what something is. No, we don't know what love
is.
Hold up. Give me my response, please. What I'm saying is, you're telling me then that there is no such thing as fairness? I hear people say, hold on, we use the way that... Can I make my point? It's not going to...
Let me just ask you one question. I'm sorry. What's the other word besides connotative? I'm going to go research this and figure this out for myself. He's giving
denotative.
You...
Connotative and denotative.
He's giving you how to solve the dang puzzle with the word.
No, he's being ambiguous with it.
No, he's
don't
not.
Tell me nothing.
No,
yes,
he's
he
not.
Is.
He's leading. All right.
He's making three as being good.
He's leading you to nowhere.
Hey, hey.
What does ambiguous mean? He's making a word greedy, mean that it has more.
Dang it, I said hush. All right, hold on.
Dang. Is that connotative or denotative?
Whatever. it's whatever right now. All
I
right, hold
direct.
On. Yeah, direct. You're right. But anyway, let me bring Lo been waiting patiently. Let me bring Lo into the game. Lo, you're here, man. What's going on?
Lo. Shalom, Lo.
How you gonna put your hand up and then don't say nothing? All right.
Hey, I can't really talk. Just answer the question I text you. Back on the topic.
What? Okay, Lo wants to know, with all this equal opportunity, will you ever see a man in WNBA or a woman in the NFL? That's what Lo wanted to know.
It goes into the conditioning of the people. You already accept a little girl playing flag football and tackle football right now.
Look, if you got Big Mama, who's about 6'5", 250 pounds, why shouldn't she play?
If you already got men want to be women, then no problem.
Well, she's still talking.
See,
okay.
I think right now someone is trying to condition me to be greedy, and that greed is going to be in a good way, and I can be successful. What are you trying to convey to me, Mr. Solution? That being greedy in a capitalist society is being good?
Actually, you missed my point. I didn't say that. I said within the context of capitalism, and I'm looking at it in its macro perspective, is that most of what we enjoy today was the result of people being what most people would call greedy, because they took all, they obsessed with a particular thing. And I'm saying that's okay. As long as they're not hurting anybody, greed, I think, is part of the fuel of capitalism. And it's not necessarily a bad thing in
every
context.
Greed is what broke the stock market down. What are you talking about? Being greedy and taking them, and the other people have losing their money.
But
and
if someone has
that's
a Christian
greedy.
Philosophy and a biblical
hey, what
philosophy,
you're talking about now,
a
lot of that
is
was illegal. I'm not talking about that.
But if someone is conditioned that greed is bad from raising up, from you know their religious beliefs, and then you come along and says, I want to get you in another realm, and I want to change your mind, and says, hold up. Greed is good in this sense, but the action, see, let's not go over what is going to be your actions when you use that greed. And I'm saying the actions of being greedy is not a good result. It's people how it's social skills. Because how I look at it at the end of the day, where I start a business with you, Ms. Solution, is how we still treat each other and how we dialogue, communicate each other.
That's
greedy
true, Mike,
in
but
business.
At the same time, don't
to
you attempt
partners?
To make as much money as you can?
But you don't have to be greedy by that.
Be about money, man.
Answer my question. Don't you right now attempt to make as much? Don't you attempt to make as much?
Hey, Mr. Talk, I threw that question in there to try to bring the topic back around. I didn't know the show was all about greed and money.
Well, he's trying to condition us to be greedy right now. I think this is a good topic.
That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying within the context of capitalism, greed may not be bad. It may be actually a motivator.
No level of greed is good. Greed is bad all the way around. Let's change the words so people can understand it
within the context of capital. How about self-interest, which has been used for decades to proclaim the same thing?
How can I have such interest when I'm a leader of my business and I influence and I get feedback from my employees and I need them to make me be successful? I can't have total self-interest.
If you are a Christian businessman, are you not selfish? Hold on, Mike. If you're a Christian businessman, are you not there to make a profit?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
But you have to think about this in the process, to make a profit,
as long as you're not stealing from somebody else, bribing them, extorting from them, and you're legitimately selling your goods to consumers who buy them, and you're making a profit, why is that bad?
That's not greedy.
That's why I said you substitute the word self-interest for greed, and then this argument can be settled.
No,
self-interest people are greedy anyway, because they're only for
greedy would be you're trying to monopolize something in business. You see how that greed
would be more than what you need. Put it within the context of the capitalist.
You're trying to say in the context of greed, and I'm just saying let's just look at greed as something like that and stay there.
Then
you
use your definition
of
greed
for
one thing.
Mike has a point.
I'm in
the dictionary right now.
I'm
in the dictionary right now.
Greed is excessive or
rapacious. Excessive or rapacious desire, especially for wealth or possession. Now,
reprehensible. Okay? Reprehensible, damn it, I lost it. Where is it? Reprehensible, it speaks of holding back.
So when you're greedy, you're holding back someone else. But I guess that's the way that it works.
Right. I held that back from that fish.
It doesn't really mean holding back.
Because
doesn't
I wanted
mean.
More
yes,
than what I
wanted. It says two referees.
Okay, what about two teams that are pitted against each other? And remember, economics is a competitive sport. What about two teams that are pitted against each other? Do you disagree with one team doing whatever it can do within the limits of the rules to win?
They do it. Look, y'all stuck on this word greed, okay? Some people view it as being good. Some view it as being bad. Just say it like that. And, you know, greed, basically in the lamest term, is you trying to hoard everything for yourself. That's greed. Okay, simple. That's what greed is, all right?
But one of the points that I think most people would fail to understand is capitalism, period. They don't understand capitalism. They live in a country where the economic system is capitalistic, but
you
don't understand it.
It's based on being fair.
It's also based on being fair in business. That it's not going ahead and trying to get everything for yourself in business. That's what the American system is supposed to be built on, to be fair in business. So when people go ahead,
that's how you've been conditioned.
No, it's to give you equal opportunity. Doesn't
that
necessarily
ain't
mean
truth
you
at
end
all.
Up with equal
that ain't the truth at all. That never has been the truth.
The franchise was not started evenly. Mr. Solution. They said they called this a franchise. Was the franchise started evenly? In a franchise, don't people get a equal share to equal stock?
No, only the elite framed the elite wrote the Declaration of Independence.
They used the word franchise, though. That's their terminology.
The elite got together and formed the Constitution. The elite.
The rich white land barons.
That's right.
So they were greedy because they did not give everybody equal shares in the franchise. Like, if I want to franchise a McDonald's, I give my little money, and they have to give me equal shares in any other business. They didn't start the franchise off equally. They were greedy, actually.
Question, if the poor thought in terms of the best thing one can do for the poor is not to be one of them, what would you think about? So
what
we'll
are you talking
about?
You pour yourself, so would you give us an example of what are you talking about?
Wait. May, would you go to your husband and have
don't
sex
don't you tell
with
me
him?
Where to go. Why don't you get your own show?
Go to your husband. You spend
you got
too
so
much
money.
Time
why don't
on
you
other...
have your own show?
You have too. You spend too much time
on
I asked
you the question. I asked you a question.
She could say that about you, Mr. Solutions. Go to your husband and get you some sex.
Yeah, that's right. He needs to go get it from somewhere. That's his problem.
I can get it from you. All I have to
do
is
give you a ticket. I can commit adultery. You wish you would.
Right out here. I show you
your
the
problem. Ain't never had no. That's probably
if I pay somebody $20 an hour as a business owner, and I pay my employees $20 an hour, and I'm making $50 an hour, right? And I take that 30, and I got 20, and then I take 10 for myself, but then I got 5 employees. I don't think that's greed. Do you think that's greed? Now, that's a capitalist.
That's business. That's business.
Right.
I try to pay them 15.
That's not greedy. Right. Exactly.
I try to pay them 15.
So
I've got that going on right now.
I know, but see.
I got that going on right now. That allows me free time.
You're greedy. Hey, man, sometimes I'm a little greedy, I guess. Thank you. What in the world is going on, y'all? I thought we had moved on from that. Why are we still stuck on this?
We're conditioned to be like this.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
This is a very good topic. He's trying to condition
us. Eric, can you hear me?
No, we can't hear
you.
It goes along
hey.
With
we're not trying to hear you.
You know what?
No, I don't want you to
hear
me. Eric, this is what you call a sign of pronoun. This is an essential essence of any topic. Whether one realizes it or not, this particular topic is always present. It's ubiquitous.
Okay. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that. But I'm disagreeing
yeah, that's
with
why it's so important. This is a seminal issue.
Hmm. Well, yeah, but we got to move on for greed. We got to move on. I mean, I think we done beat greed in the head and what it is and what it means till it. I mean,
but actually, it's even not about greed, Eric. It's about people being personally successful and not lying about it. It's just like when I asked that question just a moment ago about the poor. If they had the attitude, the best thing one can do for the poor is not to be one of them. Do you think that's a heartless way of looking at it or progressive?
Well, I would say it's a progressive way of looking at it. You know, however.
Being poor is struggling, living paycheck to paycheck. That's being poor.
Man, being poor is no paycheck.
Thank
right.
you.
Well, yeah. Well, look. Let's look at it this way. Look at it this way. You know, look, as you were growing up, I don't know your different things, but some of you were poor, but you didn't know you were poor. Why? Because in your household, you weren't conditioned to understand the know that you was poor, right? And now let's bring it out right? So,
when I look at the different strokes, I knew I was poor. When I look at the different strokes and seeing
see, Michael, now you see, looking at different strokes.
No,
Michael, looking at, you know, I'm not going to try and talk over you. This is my damn show. Dude, I lost his mind.
You're right, Mr. Talk. When I was a kid before my mother remarried,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Beasley.
Ouch. Damn, that hurt. Oh, you shot somebody else. No,
yeah.
When I was a kid, like from between 7 to 9 before my mother remarried, we were poor, and I didn't know we were poor.
Right.
And I was a sharp young dude. I had no idea. I had no idea we were poor.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Most people don't know they're poor until they're told they're poor. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
let's be honest with it. Let's be honest. Yes, really.
What's your point, Eric? I want to know your point.
Some
people think they're rich
or not. Actually, what point are you getting at, Eric?
What do you mean when you say poor people is what I want you to tell me?
Are you through, Maze?
That's right, Reason. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, here's my point. My point is this. You know, we can keep saying greed, you got to have money, you got to do this. But once again, it goes back to what me and Sister Ngoni were saying at the beginning of the show. It all starts in your head. It does. If you can somehow keep your head clear, your mind clear of all the clutter that you're taught and conditioned to believe, then you don't have to worry about all that. And all this is what we're talking about. Because you understand what's going on and how the top 1%ers are trying to get you to behave. That's all I'm saying.
And you're looking at Jones, and Jones wish he had your life.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all I'm trying to say. You know, we just constantly get stuck on certain words and we beat it to death. You know, and go around the drain over and over again. So, I mean, I understand it's part of what we need to talk about, but in this instance right now, how much are we going to beat on it until it just die? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, words are conditioned, but lawyers in Congress do this all the time. They try to condition us with words, and Ms. Nagoni said all the time. What meaning the words means, they try to condition you. But I understand what you're talking about, Mr. Tom. You're very right, but words does condition us, though. So that's why it's very important. See, that's why I'm learning about ambiguous words and how they try to switch it up. You know,
greed isn't an ambiguous word, and he might have thrown a little bit of a curveball there. Now that I'm looking up connotative and denotative, but
yeah, he was in the dictionary for his.
But I give him credit. No, I'm in front of the dictionary with my reading glasses on.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he did. He goes to the dictionary and use words and get the meanings and try to throw them out.
Look, we're not about all that personal stuff. All right, and I told y'all. Y'all know how I am about that. We don't do that here. All right, so leave it wherever you brought it from, because we don't do that here. All right.
Well,
it does, here's a quote that was given to me by a listener, and it says, "Free your mind, your ass will follow."
Yeah, that's right. Eric, the ultimate
currency is intelligence. And I want to apologize. I mean, I didn't mean to offend anyone by, you know, focusing on capitalism or even saying that possibly greed can be a good motivator in a capitalistic context. So I'll withdraw that and let people, you know, of course, just focus on what's more convenient for them.
Well, you should come work with me,
Mr. Solutions. You slick as snot. I like you a lot.
I know. You should slick with that response.
You should come work with me. We can do some things together.
Hold on for a minute.
Between your slickness and my bullshit, we can go play.
I'm both in California now.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Lo, I hear you. What you trying to say? Lo, are you there?
I was just going to say, with all the conditioning going on, you know, with people accepting everything, like I said, you know, I asked a question. Michael went back in talking about greed. Okay, you got men right now that wish they had sons. They're conditioning their daughters to go out and play football. One day try to play college football and go in the NFL. And, you know, one of the things that I saw was a boy wanting to join the Girl Scouts. So that's the thing that's conditioning. People are being conditioned to accept those things.
Now you got a point, because we're conditioned from kids to be a boy and to be a girl.
Yes, all right, hold on,
because I see where this heading. We're not trying to go there today.
Okay.
We're not doing the man, girl, male thing.
Eric, I have another point.
I'm saying that beautiful young girl, no one conditioned to me. That was nature.
I got to say,
Eric, is my mic open?
Yes.
Can someone condition you to be gay?
And I may need to apologize for this, and it may seem a little bit greedy, but just sitting here taking this moment, and I've got to go shortly, is making me money. Because, see, the next settlement agreement that I'm in, I'm going to be a little bit sharper to get a little bit more money. Now, I know that's bad, but what can I do?
That's good.
Well, you better withdraw your statement then, Major.
That's a good
thing. What about antisocial? Are you going to be antisocial with it?
He's a very sociable person.
No, antisocial. I mean, if you manipulate somebody by doing something, they say that's antisocial.
And that's what this is all about. That's what this whole society is based on.
A mental disorder, then. If you look up
antisocial. No, that's not a mental disorder. That's the way things work.
If you go to the DSM, like Mr. Solution, DSW, what do you say, the psychiatric thing? Look up antisocial, and you will see that if anyone try to manipulate or do any trickery to have any material or monetary gain, that is a psycho. And then they say that's undiagnosed. Most people have it, and it's undiagnosed. So, you know,
but
most
you don't understand, Michael.
If you're actually showing our skill, if you could
say
somebody, they say that's antisocial.
Okay. What about advertising, Mike? What about advertising and subliminal
advertising? I agree with you.
And the message that we send out. So our whole society is based on manipulation in order to sell you a product.
Actually, a better word is exploit. It means to put to productive use.
I got to check on you now, pal.
So if I have a product, I can't make a product and say it does what it does and sell it?
No. Well, I know about the law. I know that I could call someone and tell them and give myself false accolades. I could say that I'm all of these things that I'm not. I don't do it. But as long as I don't misrepresent the product and the product does what I says that it does, then I haven't broken the law.
Right.
By the letter of the law.
By using... By what?
I could call...
The language
I could call,
you
I could
use.
Call,
I can call the words in the language you use. It may do this, no guarantee.
No.
Right?
Listen to what I said. Now, according to the law, I can be calling you and offering you a product, and I can inflate my education. I can inflate my experience. I can inflate and misrepresent things about myself. But as long as I'm selling you a book and I tell you and everything that I've represented about the book, that it has 158 pages and that it's this and it's that, as long as I don't misrepresent the product, then I haven't broken any law.
Right, but you can't say that product guarantees something and it doesn't.
You can't
ever guarantee anything.
You can guarantee anything, Bees.
Well, you can guarantee, you can, but it's, well, not
if you give 100% guarantee that this product will either work for you.
Well, I can't guarantee. All right. I can't guarantee the return on investment. That's
but you can guarantee
do.
The money
got
back.
Got you. That's
just
not money. You're rolling dice. Exactly.
And if you have to use that to sell, you're going to get a whole lot of returns.
Exactly.
That's the weakest. That's a weak.
Well, you're going to have to make the disclaimer that the past results are not precursors of the future results. But then
absolutely.
You can guarantee that if what my course is, if it doesn't work for you, you get your $37 back. That's the guarantee that you can put in.
There's guarantees in the law that don't have to be spoken, that someone has the right of rescission within 48, 72 hours, depending on where you are, that they can change their mind for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that's already within the law.
Let me read you something. Guarantee, a formal promise or assurance that certain conditions will be fulfilled, and an example, that a product will be repaired or replaced if not of a specific quality or durability.
That's a guarantee. But the guarantee is we're talking about. Now, for example, when somebody says, I guarantee this, that's a false representation in the connotative sense, okay? Because people are thinking, that person is going to make sure that I get the result that he's talking about. No, what the person is saying is, I am saying that you will get the result, but if I don't, you get your money back. I guarantee the fact that you will get your money back. That's what a guarantee really means.
Yeah, you're entering into the twilight zone of illegality there.
The core definition of guarantee is that you promise someone that something is going to happen factually. You're giving them a fact. You're saying
it's going to perform as intended.
If it comes down to investment, you can't promise and guarantee. You don't have a crystal ball. Hold on. Why are we stuck on the word guarantee?
Because someone is trying to condition you to do certain things. Because we're talking about words. If you listen to Beasley, if he says, I'll give you my expertise, he's speaking the benefits and features of the product. But if he says, he's going to use certain words to convey, because language is very important. It goes back to what you're saying, only we use this to condition. It's very important.
And there's certain words that I would never use.
I understand all that. Okay? Let me get social conditioning. With the proper conditioning, a horse will learn to trust and obey its handler. You know, the act or process of training a person or animal to do something or to behave in a certain way in a particular situation. So, you know, as far as guarantees, yes, Joe, was it, anybody says they give a guarantee, yes, against the law. And it's usually in something in the fine print that says, you know, unless this happens. And the reason why they do that, because 9 times of 10, you've been kept it so long, you forget to send it back. So you keep it and you done pay for it anyway. So that's why they give you guarantees and mail-in rebates and things like that. Okay? Would you be surprised, though, about businessmen who don't take advantage of the guarantees? There are businessmen who believe that if you offer a guarantee, that's going to create not more profits, but it's going to create a greater loss because they're thinking, oh, no, people are going to take advantage of me. No, if you give a guarantee, for example, if you extend the time limit from 30 days to 90 days, business people are afraid that so many people are going to take advantage of that they're going to return the product. But studies have already shown that if you extend the guarantee, you will have more sales, and you might even have more people guaranteeing. But relatively speaking, you're going to have more of a profit because the number of sales will outweigh the percentage of the people who have returned the product. So people don't understand that principle.
Right.
I'm definitely for that. I recently bought a product that had a lifetime warranty, and I like those. But look here, with respect to conditioning, out-of-the-box thinking is appropriate here. It's appropriate to introduce that notion, and that is to avoid the conditioning by being able to think outside of the conditioning. And I think that's where the real profits, and if you want to say it, rarefied air is to think outside of one's conditioning, to a limit. What would you say about that?
Nothing.
You may. I know you would. You shouldn't say anything.
Lord,
well, I guess we'll have to define the limit. I guess we're going to have to define the limit, and that's a whole other conversation, isn't it?
What I'm saying is I'm using the nomenclature out-of-the-box thinking, which is the opposite of conditioning.
Right. What do they say? Right, exactly. But that's the way. And in business, that's encouraged, but also not encouraged. It's not encouraged from the rank and file.
Not encouraged from business leaders either. And yes, it is for major business leaders, because I know you're going with that. But I'm going to tell you from experience that business leaders do not want to think out of the box. Because I've been told a number of times, we just don't do that here.
Okay. Yeah, but what about when your revenue's down? What about when your revenue's down? And it's
failing.
What? You know what? And I don't know. I'm just thinking. I still do things the way I did it 20-something years ago. Basically, you know. Basically, it's still done the same way.
Well, if it works, and it works. But the thing is, there are a lot of people who have said, "Oh, yeah, I want to make more profits. I want to make more sales. Yeah, I want to expand my business." Okay, so how about introducing this particular concept, which you've worked for other industries, for other businesses? Oh, we just don't do that here.
Right. Well, look here, one may think about, you know, transplanting themselves elsewhere. But, you know, there's been the notion of, this conditioning here, when you introduce ideas that are out of the box, as I said, I think that's very good. And that allows you to not just be subject to your conditioning. That allows you a certain degree of freedom, which I think that we all should want, no?
Yeah,
well, you know what? That's how technology is driven. These people are thinking, these people are not thinking with confines. Look at what happened with file sharing in music, okay? It was a huge problem. Napster was a big huge problem. The recording industries, they did everything they could to try to stop it, and they wanted, and they even spent millions and millions of dollars. Each of the labels spent millions and millions of dollars trying to find a way to take advantage of the technology over the internet to sell music, and they spent millions of dollars, and they couldn't figure out a way. Here comes along Steve Jobs and Apple that realized that this problem wasn't to be solved with a software, but with a hardware, with a small, accurate, high-performing device like an iPod, and it completely changed things. And that company benefits through iTunes, and iTunes sells more digital music than anyone else. So thinking outside the box is important. And if you're on target like he was, you've found a way to do something that all kinds of other brilliant, smart, sharp people couldn't figure out.
Right. And if you think about it, most of this is in the context of being a team player. I think that's very important.
Team player. Mm-hmm.
And also, now you guys can judge whether May would be a good team player or not. But with respect to speaking on the issue of conditioning, with respect to speaking on the issue of conditioning, May is what you call a gadfly on the horse's ass.
I know why you're attacking her, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing of it is, I think it's okay to listen. But look here, synthesis is more important, I think, in our modern-day circumstance than true creativity. You know, it's synthesizing pre-existing ideas to come up with something that's innovative. And I think that's a bit of out-of-the-box thinking, which is not being totally governed by conditioning. What do you think?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And that is funny. Why?
I can't understand him, but he's tickled. I'm glad he's entertained.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
What the hell? I never heard of shit like that in my life. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry, guys. Ooh.
Hmm.
Well, see, I actually like, and she could learn something if she would listen. Eventually.
Oh, her mic's open. She's not talking.
Mm. Wow.
It's strange how we interact with each other on this platform.
But I understand as a group, Mr. Solution, you're saying as a group, what we're going to name our group, you said there's no quote-unquote black people. So you don't want to get the quote on it. You say that we don't have no power. We have a lot of spending power.
Yeah, but it's not coordinated. Yeah, our spending power.
Well, it's not coordinated.
But our spending power goes to benefit other groups. It doesn't benefit our group. They stand in line to buy. They stand in line to buy $200 tennis shoes.
So we right. Every group practices what they call recycling their dollars because they appreciate and value each other enough to do it.
Right.
And when you get people who are always scrapping, fighting, and farting at each other, it just doesn't make for any power. They have no progress. And so to identify oneself as black is basically useless when you don't have a clear definition of what the hell that is.
Haven't we been conditioned to do this, though, Mr. Solution?
There you go. Exactly. And it's conditioned with a fatal conclusion.
Yes.
Conditioning with a fatal conclusion.
Right.
Powerlessness and poverty in a system that respects both.
Well, eventually, right. You know, we're going to default on our loan eventually.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
What loan?
We're being conditioned. Well, the government, we're being conditioned to just borrow money from this, you know, even though they don't want us to fall because China has a lot of our money, but eventually we're going to default. We can't pay this debt back.
There won't be a default. There won't be a default. There will just be hyperinflation.
Exactly. And within the next 20 years, there won't be a default. So that's plenty of time for you to win if you're capable of winning. See, I like a winner. I don't like a loser. I don't like a complainer.
I don't blame you.
That's not the way I roll.
That ain't the way to roll. You're right.
No. I don't know. See, I understand that. I mean, you have to do what you have to do. But the guys at the top,
No matter what. If there's a change, those same guys and gals will reemerge on the top. It won't put you on the top. Not, I don't mean this personally.
What did I hear someone say once?
That if you took the
losers
who are
waiting for their top, I wouldn't want to be on the United States.
Hold on. Everybody can't talk at one time. What
made? What made? Anybody talk besides him? He's not needing nobody.
Mate.
You say all of these ridiculous things, and you put me on mute.
No, you're still, we can hear you, Mace.
I put you on mute.
I always like listening to him, but I guess that you don't. I don't understand, Mr. Solutions, why.
I tried
to listen to some of the debate that you were in the other night, and I'm like, here goes Mr. Solutions, a real qualified orator.
and he's with three and he's with three pigs.
Right.
I'm like, why? Even on your own team. I'm like, God, this is sad.
Well, please,
you need to come back around here more often.
That's my opinion.
You need to come back around here more often.
All right.
Yeah, there's a certain family. I mix with a lot of different people. I mean, Blog Talk is fine with me. We were on Spreaker, though.
Everywhere is free.
Right.
And so I mix with other people. I didn't hear that background noise, by the way, and good thing. The thing is I don't mind mixing with other people of various genres, and I enjoy conversation when I'm not working. And if I'm invited to participate in something where someone could potentially learn, I'm perfectly okay with that.
Fair enough. If you learn anything from them, you be sure to let us know.
Well, he likes to be around people who he think he's smarter than. That's why that is.
Well,
okay,
he is far smarter than them. But that's not saying much for him.
I'm finna fix this right now. Okay. All right. I'm finna fix this real fast. All right, y'all. Everybody has been placed on mute, and there's a reason why you've been placed on mute, because I'm tired of listening to the nonsense. Now, we're going to go ahead and let y'all get y'all last words in, though, because y'all know I'm good at that. I'll let y'all do that. But, Maze, the reason why you got muted before, because you keep cutting in and nobody can finish saying anything. That's why I muted you, if you just have to know. You know, and it's just that simple. And like I really have to explain anything, but I'm just going to let you know. And Mr. Solution is welcome on this show anytime he wants to come back. Me and Mr. Solution go back for a while. You know, he was one of my first listeners, him and Joe. So, yes, he's welcome at any time. Of course, you know, I may not agree with everything he said, but some things makes plenty of sense. So, I mean, he's welcome to come back on this show anytime he wants to. So, I mean, y'all think what you want to, but it's my show. So I decide who I want to let come back and who I don't. Now, that being said, well, May's gone. Okay. And with that being said, let's go ahead and get your final words in. We're going to go with Chef Rob first, last in, first out. All right, Chef Rob, what you got for me? Your last words.
It's been a great show. Thanks for having me.
All right. You have a good one. All right, let's see. Let's get Mr. Solutions in here. Mr. Solutions, your last word, sir.
Yeah, actually, this I think this has been a good show, and even better for those who listen with an open mind. And I'm going to wish everybody on the show an additional $10,000. Now, I hope you can go out and work and earn that and make it happen, but that's my wish for you.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
I'm sure going to make mine. All right. Have a good one. All right. Next up is Mr. Michael. All right, Michael.
You ran Mace off. She hung up.
Okay.
You can come back anytime.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's okay. It's my show. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay. She'll be back.
Show always good dialogue. You know, you guys always scratch my mind. You know, I think we did hit the topic. Even we, you know, we stick and jab. That's how it is. But if you really play back the tape, archives, I hope you guys listen, that we're talking about words, conditioning. We all condition each other. We all try to come and try to give our point of view and say, hey, you see this, or give our experiences or give our suggestions. Now, we don't have to do what other people suggest that we should do or suggest things, or we don't have to do it, but, you know, it's all up to us. But someone's trying to condition us all the time. And I guess you have to, me, I try to separate the facts from the theory, so I won't go down a rabbit hole on too much theory. It's been a great, 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 great show, and looking forward to the next one. And you have a nice one.
All right. Thank you, Michael. You have a nice one also. All right. Mr. Beasley, you're up.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the show as well. I like Mr. Solutions a lot. I always like listening to him talk, but
I'm doing some double checking on his definitions of these words. He'll throw a curveball on you, so you got to do your homework. I was just taking him, wow, because exploit, I don't see it here, meaning what he said. And I know that he uses a different dictionary as well. But actually, I'm using the dictionary that he said. I have it here on my desk, Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, but I know they like the Black's Law Dictionary. That's all.
All right, Mr. Beasley, we'll see you tomorrow. And last but not least, the man of few words, Mr. Joe, where you at?
Yeah.
Obviously, you went to sleep on me. You know you're good for that.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I am a man of few words, so I don't have much to say. So see you when I see you.
All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, and then last but not least, my beautiful co-host. You know, you got anything you want to add?
Oh, I just wanted to say thanks to everybody for coming and everybody for contributing, and that's it.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, I'll that's it. I'll leave it there.
Okay. All righty then. Well, I guess it just leaves me. Well, y'all, I'm telling you, it was a very, very interesting show. Like always, you know, I learned some things, and some things I just laugh at because, you know, some things are worth laughing at. But, you know, just keep in mind, number one, conditioning starts with your mind, okay? It really does. As long as you allow you keep walking around with a closed mind and allow yourself to be fed, you know, nonsense without checking it out, then yes, you are going to be conditioned. You know, so it's all good. It's all good. You know, hopefully, you know, we help somebody learn some things. Hopefully somebody, you know, reevaluating, you know, how they walk around with, you know, in their head. And if not, oh, well, there'll be more shows. Definitely there will be, you know. But let's see. That's going to be my final words on that. All right, tomorrow, hey, I'm sure, man, I got one for you tomorrow, y'all. So find your favorite quotes. We doing quotes tomorrow, okay? That's what I said. And the title of the show is going to be, What is Your Favorite Quote? Now, let me explain it to you. All right, now, when you bring that quote, be prepared to explain it, okay? Because we're going to talk about the quotes also. So don't just think you're going to come and read your quote and roll out, because that's not how it's going to work, all right? So I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. All right, well, that's about it. Hey, before I get out of here, though, remember, go and show appreciation to somebody you love. It don't even have to be somebody you love. Just show appreciation to somebody, you know? And in that case, who knows, you may get appreciation back, but don't show it looking for it back, okay? Sometimes you have to do things without looking for it back, and then that's when your reward will come. Also, remember to keep smiling, you know, learn to laugh at yourself. Because a lot of times you walk around here all pressured out and tight-lipped and mad at the world, when sometimes the only thing you got to do is laugh at yourself. You know, you'd be surprised how much stress and pressure laughter releases. You know, but you have to laugh, learn to laugh at yourself first. I mean, that's what I always say. You know what I mean? But, hey, you think of those things, you try them. They may work for some of you, may not. But, hey, it works for me. All right? So, that's it for me today. Tomorrow is going to be another day. Hope y'all join me here on Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I'll be checking y'all later. I am now out of here.